The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
I can't trust in a political world. waste your time. Here's why.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Hey, go.
Bring me down.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on May the 2nd, 2014. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day today. It's Friday, and I hope the sun comes out, because, you know, I'm not tired of my song, but the sun just won't crack the sky. So I don't want anything to bring me down, and so I'm still dealing with Pharrell Williams. But it is Friday, and it's open mic. The number is 347-945-5229, and I hope you're having a good day today. We're going to have a good weekend. If you got any weekend plans, if you can tell me something that I might want to do over the weekend, give me a call here at 347-945-5229 so I can get that done, because I don't have any plans this weekend. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm looking at my Friday night, and I'm like, this is bad. This is really, really bad. Hey, good morning, Alabama. How are you?
What's going on?
Man, it's Friday. I have nothing to do this weekend except for, like, chores.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm trying to save
that
my money.
Good.
I ain't doing nothing.
I'm
you, but that's good. You need to go to the gym. I'm
going to
give you some plans. Go to the gym.
That's already in the plan.
Put some weight training in. Don't just run on the treadmill for 2 hours. Think
Alabama,
you're doing something.
That's already in the plan. That's tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. But you can't work out from 8 until Monday. Huh?
Hey, but yeah, and you do that, then drink a lot of water, and you know, make sure you do the hydration.
I'm doing two hours tomorrow.
You're doing dos horas mañana.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. That's already in the plan.
Okay,
that's already there.
It's probably in. Okay, that's fine.
It's on,
good.
It's already on the calendar.
Bien.
I was there last night.
That's good. You there last night. Good.
I'm going to go back Monday. I got a Monday at 3:30.
Why you going to go tomorrow if you going to skip Sunday? Why don't you go Sunday afternoon?
Oh, I don't work out on Sunday. That's the Lord's day. I'm going to stay home and rest.
I mean, but you ain't working out 6 days a week. So what does make you work out on Sunday?
I'm doing a good 3.5.
I don't do this on Sunday.
Don't
kill me on that. What you going to do?
I do.
What else you got to do?
I got to read. Rest. Rest.
You
know, just as a rest. You know, like rest.
Okay,
resting
but
just
you can rest.
Just as important
you
as
can
working
rest.
Out.
Let me tell you what you do. This is what you do. Go get in the sauna, right? Get in there and get real hot. Right? Then get in the pool. And that'll cool you down.
You know what?
And you won't feel your workout. You will not feel that workout at all. I promise. When you leave, you're going to feel like you ain't lift the weight.
Listen, I'm going to tell y'all something. I found out something about that sauna. That sauna's cool. That sauna's wonderful. It does great things for the body.
How you feel when you walk about? Don't you feel relaxed?
Woo! It's a wonderful thing.
It take all this,
I'm getting addicted. This is bad.
No, you got to be tough now. You need to put some water in your system. And,
I'm drinking
water. You got to make sure you're clear and all that.
I think I'm almost up to 3/4 of a gallon a day.
Well, you know, that's just 3 little 32 ounces. That ain't that.
I said 3/4 of a gallon, not a half gallon.
No, three of them, 3 32-ounce, two of them is 64 ounces is half a gallon. A gallon is only 128 ounces.
Oh, that's only 3/4. Ooh.
Yeah, so you're only 3/4. So you drink one more, you'll be at a gallon.
I'm almost at a gallon. I'm working on it.
They say you do feel your kidneys use half a gallon a day by itself. 40 ounces.
I'm working on it.
I can't remember. Well.
I'm really working on it. Y'all don't know just how hard I'm working at this.
Well, I mean, hey, you got to stay on it. You know, I took a break. I kind of slacked off the last month. I've been kind of just, I got tired. Not working too hard, working out too much. So I was working out like maybe 3 days a week. Some days I go in there and lollygag, won't do that for real. But got to do that. You know, since I done picked up this last week and a half, been going pretty hard again. But I kind of lost my desire for a minute. But I still would go. Wow. I just go and because, I mean, I don't know, sometimes it's hard to stay motivated. It's disciplined. I mean, it just takes those neural pathways up to just, the neural pathways are building my mind. I'm going to the gym every day. I don't know why I just do it. I do it. If I can go 7 days a week, I will. But when I go, some days I don't feel, when I get in there, I don't feel like slapping on all these plates, trying to lift all this weight and struggling, your joints ache a little sometimes. So sometimes, you know what, today I'm just going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do cardio, I'm going to do, I might just get in the sauna, get up, run a couple of laps, you know, just something to make my food digest real good and go to and leave. And I've been doing that for like the last 3 weeks. I've just been taking it easy. But I've been starting to pick it back up now. I kind of picked it up.
I know. I'm getting in the habit. I'm getting in the habit of going to the gym. It's really amazing. I'm trying to do this because I want my body back. I want to get down. I want to do.
Well, see, and women, I don't know why women don't understand this. Weightlifting works wonders for fat. I'm telling you, you do not look like. In order for you to look like a man, it would take you years of lifting. I mean, it would take you years, and you still would. If a guy. You got guys, men that got testes that produce testosterone that don't look manly. If they lift weights, they just get firmer. Or why women think they gonna look like a man? Because the way they all want. I hate to see a woman go in there. I come in the weight room. I come in that gym, go play basketball. She's still on the treadmill. Like she ain't doing nothing but eating her muscle and her fat away, which in turn makes it easier for you to gain weight when you stop working out.
That's why.
Yeah, you need to do both, but I think, honestly, I'd
both.
Rather just, let me tell you something, I'm going to hit the treadmill, I'm going to turn that joke up to 10, 11, I'm going to put my feet on the side,
I'm going to
get over
there
and run for 30 seconds, then I'm going to stop, rest on the side for 30 seconds, get back, I'm going to do that maybe 10, 15 minutes, and I'm gone, and you still in there
but
4 hours and a half.
You need to do
it
out. But, I mean, you got to run. You know, you got to get on there, you got to run, you got to go back.
I say, get that
pussy
out. I say,
you just can't just go
try this
in
today. Try this today. I bet you like it.
Like you're walking down the street.
Oh, I try this today. Instead of getting on there for an hour, because I bet you go in there and sit on that treadmill for an hour, just walking and walking.
Guess
and walking.
What?
And you're counting the calories like, well, I burnt
wait,
any
listen,
calories.
Alabama, listen. I ain't walking on the treadmill no hour. I don't like the treadmill. I don't like the elliptical. I don't like the stairs. I do 20 minutes on the elliptical, 20 minutes on the treadmill, and then I hit the weights, and then I do Pilates, and then I'm out.
Well, see, first you need to do that in reverse order. You hit the weights first.
Why I hit the weights first?
Because you got what they call your glycogen stored up in your muscles. It's used up. By the time you go and lift weights, you're not really getting the most optimal workout to tear the muscles down. When you lift, you're tearing the muscles down. And you don't have any glycogen in your muscles because you don't ran 40 minutes and between those two machines. By the time you get in that weight room, you ain't got that extra pull. Thus, your weightlifting is not as good. You should lift weights first. You're going to still have enough glycogen left over to do the running. The running is something that we have in our minds and body. We're built to run. So you can run with very little, you know, but you can have good hard workout, but you can't. Vice versa, if you run good, if you're burning in 40 minutes, you should burn at least, 300 calories, 400 calories, probably more than that, maybe 5, maybe. But if you do that, then you're going to have to turn around and you've used up the glycogen in your muscles doing that. It's just like that. That's why they say sometimes when you do HIIT training, they say the most optimal way to do HIIT is like 15 seconds all out, rest 30 seconds. I don't know why. They say you burn the most fat with that interval, 15 and 30.
15 and 30?
15 and 30, but I'm talking about 15, you humping it. I'm talking about you top, like you, even you, if you get on there, you need to be going at least 8.5, 9 hard. I'm talking about running, stretching out long strides, 15.
Alabama,
see, the thing is about this workout.
Alabama, sweet, honey, have you seen what I look like?
I see your picture.
Baby,
the thing about the workout, why would you, I'm going to tell you, if you hate the cardio, you hate it, I'm going to tell you what makes it hard to be successful as well and keep staying consistent is because cardio takes almost an hour. It takes you 45 minutes to do all your machines.
Yeah.
Why would you do that when all you can do is get in there 15 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, and go hard, and you're going to still burn because your body's going to be burning for the next 2 days. Look this up. It's called high-intensity interval training. Your body will still
isn't
be
that,
farting.
Isn't that like the PX90 and the Extreme 25 or something like that?
I'll tell you what the best way to do it. Look at the long distance sprinters, and then look at the sprinters that just short distance, and look at their bodies. Which body would you rather have? Would you rather be bony with flabby with skin hanging like a marathon runner? Look like somebody hit you, you're breaking two? Or would you rather be built like what's my
Marion
favorite? Carmelita Jeter. Carmelita Jeter. Lord have mercy.
I don't know who Carmelita Jeter is, but
Look her up. She was in the ESPN body issue. Let's put it like that. She got a body for this. I mean, nice thighs, nice round butt, nice face. Stomach, abs, everything.
But doesn't that have a lot to do with your body? Doesn't that have a lot to do with your genes and your genealogy?
No. Let me tell you another thing. I hate to hear people, I got big bones. I just can't. That's a bold-faced lie. Everybody, anybody can get. Let me tell you something. When I hear a doctor say,
Stop. Everybody can't get a body that's padal. It ain't no, and no.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you something completely. If you have enough discipline, if you hit the squat rack hard, going deep below 90 degrees on your knees to your ankles, keeping your knees above your feet and going down on the squat rack and you're going hard, you will shape your butt, number one. Number two, your glutes, your thighs, all that's going to come together. That's one thing.
I thought they were coming to me.
Secondly, those are the biggest muscles in your body, so you're going to burn more fat by doing that. Number one, that's why sprinters have the best bodies. Everybody, sure, you may not win the sprint, but I've never seen a sprinter. Sprinters got the best bodies on earth, like for women, I've ever seen. I mean, women just, when you got good women, white, black, any woman, their sprint is built like a champion every time. And that's what you can look like. I don't see why.
Everybody can't look like that.
That's like saying I'll never have $1 million. You keep that to yourself,
because
I will.
I'm going to have $1 million, but everybody can't look like that. Everybody, they ain't made up with padal. They ain't made for that.
I'm going to tell you why I think that's a myth.
Listen, you've been talking for 10 minutes. Listen here. If you ain't got a chest, you can't make a chest by going to the gym. I don't care what you do.
I ain't talking about no breast, man. I ain't talking about no bro.
If you ain't got a butt, you can't make a butt. Now, you might make a hump.
No, I know.
You can't
make
no butt out of a molehill. Ain't no
There's this trainer called Tess Rogers in Atlanta. I've seen women that she had to have flat butts, and she get finished with them. Now they ain't Katoria, and they ain't just got these super butts, but they ain't sure got a nice butt compared to what they had before.
You can't make a butt. You ain't got a butt.
Look here.
Good morning, Eric.
You're listening to the AM 600.
The number is 347-945-5229. You just listening there?
I just tuned in. I'm like, wow, y'all talking about butts and breasts and okay.
She's saying breasts. Of course, I don't think you're going to make your breasts big by exercise, but you can actually form and round your – it can be done. Those are muscles. That can be done. Now, your breasts, no.
You can shape a butt, but you can't make a butt. That's what I said.
You can add a little something to it. I guess you don't went to break. You can add something to it, man. You try to creep when folks go to break. You don't know if nobody's sitting there. You don't know what's going on. You be trying to talk. Somebody say nothing. Didn't make you feel stupid. Hello?
Hey, I'm here. This is Eric up in Ohio.
Man, I thought you was in New York somewhere.
Yeah, no, man. I'm in Ohio. I'm right about not crazy, actually.
Oh, but yeah, man. Women kill me with that, man. I can't get in shape like that. I'm just not genetically like. Oh, you just lazy. You just ain't got the discipline. You just don't want to want to go through that pain to get what it takes to beat up. That's what it is.
Yeah, you got to work out hard. I mean, you Yeah,
I'm just being honest. Look, you tell me you take a woman and have her work out every day, weight training, and 15 minutes of good HIIT cardio every day for 3 years, then come back and look at her. Tell me she ain't got the body looking like a sprinter. Guarantee she going to look like a sprinter. Guarantee. I don't care who she is. I don't care if she's 200 pounds. She hit them weights, and she running, and she hitting cardio, and then, of course, you have to watch her diet. But she disciplined. 3 years in, she going, and you stand her up next to a sprinter, you ain't going to be able to, she's going, oh, is she a sprinter? She going to have nice thighs. She going to have a nice behind. Is she doing that dip rag like she's supposed to? There's this, what is it, Mike Rasheed and C.T. Fletcher. And these guys, they got this white girl. She had no butt. She got one now. Got a nice butt. But I'm dead serious. But she do a lot of squatting, a lot of it. Like, you got this, that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I played football, so I know all about two-a-days. And you got to put that, you know, if you play football, you know what I'm talking about.
I played basketball, so I understand two-a-days. I mean, we had two-a-days in JUCO when I was playing junior college. And then when I went to Tuskegee, we had two-a-days, but they have killed us. And see, I always could outrun everybody, so that's what I hated about it. They used to have me on top of the – I used to be the one of the defenders, so they had me outrunning here, but I was out there like running like a – coach, he ran me in the ground one day just to laugh. But I like, you know, that forms intestinal fortitude, which you need that in life. I mean, you know, playing sports, that's why people that play sports are more likely to succeed, because it forms your intestinal fortitude to have to be able to will yourself into doing stuff that you don't like. Damn,
uh-huh.
You need that in life. And I think it was a Chinese proverb said, watch your actions, they form habits. Watch your habits, they form character. Watch your character, it forms your destiny.
Yeah. It teaches you how to win, and it teaches you how to lose with grace. And when you lose, sometimes you lose, and get up and try again, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you play ball with some real competition, things are going to happen. If you play some real guys that can play, it's not going to always be you winning every day. That doesn't happen. If you're playing real talent, like real, like, NBA level guys.
Crazy
no way
Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Bring me down, can't none bring me down to love a two. Bring me down, can't none bring me down, I said.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. Hey, Alabama, Covina Man said all you do is filibuster. That's all you do. Hey, listen, and it's open mic Friday. Justin's studio with me.
Why I got to be filibuster?
Because you filibustered for the full first hour. You really did. But let's go back to this. I want to tell you something. This is important.
Raw, you know, before I go into surgery for something.
What is that? Okay.
You stop talking because you got a million windows open.
Just get a mic.
Mm-mm.
Get a mic, turn it up, and.
Mm-mm. I don't want
to. The night before. And.
There's something I wanted to say, and now you've made me forget. Hey, it's open mic Friday. The number is 347-945-5229. I won't go to Dobson yet, but it's coming. Yesterday was National Day of Prayer, and I got to talk about what happened with that. And, Alabama's going to make sure that I get a six-pack like him. So he's going to filibuster for the first 20 minutes of the show. I love you, Alabama.
You asked me something. You asked me something, and I give some insight. I mean, I have some
you
sort
gave
of
me
an insight on working out.
20-minute lecture. I'm going to get it done.
A 30-minute lecture?
A 20-minute lecture.
Okay.
But I'm going to get it done.
I can't get it done.
You know you can't win.
I can't win. It's just people just call you something, say something. It's just, that's it. And
you know you can't win. You know, I'm still a woman.
Hey, it is what it is.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. What else? There was something else I wanted to say. I can't remember. unemployment records, unemployment numbers came out, or employment numbers came out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people fell off the rolls, but they say they were more surprising than they thought they were going to be. The numbers went up.
Yeah, they went way up.
So, she's doing a good job.
Yeah. Yeah, of stopping work.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, well.
I talked to my friends, and they said that's not true. Y'all just putting your foot on his neck.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard that Sterling has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA owners are going to go, they're going to trudge ahead of taking, dismissing Sterling from the ownership of the Clippers. I still think they should have taken the Clippers out.
Mm-hmm.
And let the private market punish him and then take the Clippers back if they wanted to. Eric, what's new with you?
Not much. Just TGIF Friday, I guess.
Friday's a good thing. I don't have anything to do. What are y'all doing this weekend?
Who are you talking to?
Anybody.
You know what I'm doing this weekend.
I don't know what you're doing this weekend.
I think I'm going to go down to the beach. I'm going to go to the beach, get a hotel room, and then just chill overlooking the ocean. Meditate. Get my thoughts together.
On the golf?
Yeah, go down there to Orange Beach right quick, get a room. You get a room down there by $75.
I have no idea in the world where Orange Beach is.
Mobile.
In Georgia.
Mobile. That's the beach
of
Mobile.
Alabama? Oh.
Yeah, I'm from y'all. What y'all call me? Alabama, right?
I call you Six Pack. That's what I heard.
I mean,
your name
y'all don't call me
from Alabama, but to you. I talked to you, and you're in Atlanta, you're down in Mississippi, you're traveling, you're working.
I'm actually trying to get back in Atlanta, but right now I'm on a project in Tuscaloosa, and I'm heading up to Tuscaloosa. Roll Tide.
Well, they just got tore up a little bit, didn't they?
By who? Somebody that
storm. No, by the storm.
Oh, no. They ain't, you know, they say that stuff. Ain't that happening, man. These folks. Brother folks just be panicking. I ain't gonna lie now, weather get bad sometimes. You need to take it serious, but it wasn't that bad. They just said all that to try to, yeah, I don't know. I guess they scared because of what happened last time. I mean, they got stuff down here. They was showing me where the tornadoes came through. We don't really get hit like that for real, but every once in a while it will hit. But it's usually Birmingham up by Tuscaloosa. Montgomery don't really get no tornadoes like that. We had a tornado back when I was in the Dominican Republic one time, but it interesting story, I actually was trying to buy a place called Fun Zone, me and my partner from California, and I think they wanted like $1 million for it. We were trying to get it, but we was going around $900,000. We never did get it. About 3 months later, tornado comes through, and it tears it down. It would have took $4 million, right at $4 million to build this place. We would have made, if I just did the math, we would have made like a 2 point something. We would have just got it in a check. And we would have owned the land. Had we just bought it. And I kicked myself. I was like, man, that would have been a big leak right there. Well, tornado had came through there and tore it down. Man, missed that. If I was alone, I'd have bought that truck and just been smiling. As soon as I'd have saw it, would have caught the
next
man out
of
the Republic.
Alabama.
And back.
Sweetie, you know what my uncle said? He said, if a frog had pockets, he'd pack a 45. Hindsight's always 20/20. If I'd known what I'd known right now, I'd have owned half of eBay, AOL, Time Warner, and the rest of them.
Yeah.
Why aren't y'all talking about something important? Like
I don't
movie
know.
Movie gallery
like
had
maybe
a shot at buying Redbox and didn't do it. Movie gallery, Netflix, they could have bought them, and they didn't buy them. Now Netflix is going to take over everybody.
Yeah, they are. They hit the top of the world.
Yeah. What's the name? They're starting to stream. Who is it? The one? Yeah, they try. People are starting to try to learn how to stream and trying to get into that market because they take
the market.
Over.
That's right. I'm gonna help them out. And the number is 347-945-5229. Jeff, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, nothing. Benghazi is, you know, I want to talk about Benghazi later because I want this to develop further.
Okay.
And, you know, they're flat-footed, caught as liars, but it doesn't matter if the press doesn't report it.
They're not reporting it.
Oh, they are reporting it because they were pissed yesterday about it.
Thank you.
Well,
Fox News is
they
reporting
are.
It, but the rest of them sliding by it.
Yeah, they're sliding by it. But
Joe Scarborough went off for a few minutes, but then he settled down by this morning.
Yeah, I mean, but, their bread is buttered on one side. There's no doubt
CBS,
about
it. CNN, they're still talking about the wind blowing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So who's covering it? Fox?
Well,
that don't count. Fox has been covering it since it started.
We're going to see, because the president's getting ready to come back on late night again.
And they're going to sugarcoat him kiss his foot. So what?
Kiss his foot?
But let me ask you this.
Or a little higher.
But now, wait a minute. Hold on. iHeartRadio had an award show last night. Anybody watch it?
I saw a couple seconds. I can't stomach it. I was throwing up on the side of the bed after the first couple minutes of it.
What?
I can't take these people.
And I gotta talk about my boy, Pat, Bill Dodson, James Dodson.
Bill Dodson.
You know, I said my boy.
Leave the artist alone. That's my cat.
James Dodson. You know, yesterday was National Day of Prayer.
He was ticked.
And this is the headline. The headline says, Dodson tears into Obama. Come and get me.
Yep.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was.
That's what he said.
Fed up.
He wasn't fed up.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. See, the secular people and the people that, you know, that really don't know God but say they do.
Obama, before he was elected, made it very clear that he wanted to be the abortion president. He didn't pull any, he didn't make any bones about it, that this is something that he really was going to promote and support. And he has done that. And in a sense, he is the abortion president. And early on in his first term, he announced through Health and Human Services that every American who gets insurance, which should be almost all of us, would have to pay a surcharge. It started out at $1 a month, so that's $12 a year. I don't care how much it is, but $12 a year that would go skyrocketing. You know everything, every tax does, right, Judge? And that we would have to pay it, and that would go toward the support of abortion. And it would go to Planned Parenthood. And in fact, his budget that he submitted this year had $250 million for Planned Parenthood. And it's breathtaking what this means for unborn children. Well,
they said that he went off on the president. He didn't go off on the president. He just reported what the main major.
That's not all he said right there.
That's just the reporting of what the main thing that he did was.
Right.
He did say he was going to be a pro-abortion president. That's what he said.
Oh, absolutely is what he said. That's what he is. Listen, progressives are pro-abortion because progressives want to control the world and they don't want too many people to control. And that's what they're doing. They know good and well. Look at all the things that are just seeming to happen.
Like what?
You got the chicken virus that just come through and wiped out so many chickens. You got the little pig virus that has wiped out a whole lot of piglets here in America. Okay?
What's your problem, Jeff?
No, I mean, I'm being very serious because...
I'm being very serious. What's the problem?
Do you think these things are on purpose? I think they are. I think these people are just that cynical and just that wicked that they will do something like this.
I don't know about that.
Well, I know you don't, but I mean, I understand.
I look at when, you know, cars start dropping off in the middle of the earth and sliding down hills and...
Well, yeah, that too.
Sinkhole,
because of what they are doing.
I think
that's what's causing.
I think the land is rebelling against.
The Bible says when you do crazy stuff against God, the land will spew you out of it.
And so I'm watching some stuff, and it's like, this is, this is pretty intense. But I see this, but I look at people, and I look at where they are, and no matter what goes on, whether it be Benghazi, whether it be, abortion president, whether it be the economy, whether it be anything, the American people are still very, very passive when it comes to holding anyone accountable for anything. They won't say anything. They're very comfortable with nothing. And I'm concerned about that because as the people sleep, the lions roar. And they're really, really, really overtaking a lot of stuff that you won't be able to get back. D.L. Hughley had to apologize yesterday because they didn't like his comments, he said, about somebody else and Columbus Short and domestic violence. That we're eroding everything that we've ever owned. You should be able to say what you choose. I should be able to turn you off.
Yeah, you were very right about the Sterling situation as well. Here it is. They're going to create fascism. Now, listen, this man said things that could be against me personally if he implements something somewhere in public. But he was in private talking his own mind, and everybody has the right to have their opinion on whatever.
Whether I like it or not.
Whether you like
it
or not.
Even with that, even with him, hey, everybody, your mics are on. With that said,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even with Benghazi, we're more upset with a man who is a racist than we are about a man who allows the nation to be targeted and comes on TV and doesn't tell the truth about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm talking about as a nation. Now, I'm not saying that what Sterling did was not heinous because it was very
heinous.
But our priorities are misaligned.
Well, it's your priorities. It's your engineering of social behavior and of political correctness which is way out of line. This is what is going on in the country.
Something's wrong.
It's hugely wrong.
No, something's wrong.
What happened?
You know, I don't usually agree with Vorp.
Vorp
in the chat room.
Oh, I can't see the chat room. I'm sorry.
I don't. And he said that racism makes money.
Absolutely, you know that.
Politics don't.
What do you think Roosterhead is doing out there every day?
Who's Roosterhead?
Al Charlton.
Just,
tell me he don't look like a rooster in a suit.
I wouldn't insult the rooster like that.
Look at his head on that little skinny body now that he got. Why do people think that if you look emaciated, then you're healthy?
That's
how the human body's.
I've been trying to tell him that, you know, Stanley was on a tyrant yesterday. You need to be down to a size 2. I'm looking for
what? I got to say, Al look like something wrong with him, man. He needs to get down.
He's healthy now.
No, that young girl wearing that weight off of him, that's what's going on.
You know,
Al
Sharpton. Al Sharpton is, Tupac. Not Tupac. Tupac's stepfather or whatever the guy, Mutulu, actually broke out Asada Shakur. They said Al Sharpton helped frame her. He wore a wire to try to frame her. So Al Sharpton's been in the snitching game for years. Like, there's a reason he's where he is. And black people need to wake up. This guy's not on the side. This guy's been helping. He helped take down the mafia. Let me tell you something. You snitch on the mafia, you're going to get cut up and put in pieces. They ain't did nothing to him. What's
up with
that? The
mafia is gone.
Like,
Alabama,
okay.
The mafia is gone.
Okay.
The mafia.
Okay.
We put the mafia. We put the mafia in jail a couple years ago. Don't worry about it. We got it covered.
I'm sure you believe.
Okay,
that.
He did this in the 80s, though.
Oh, that's okay. That's
so good. He should have been cut up. This guy, saying, Al has been a snitch forever. He's old school.
Well, let's face it. Al ain't no snitch like that because Al would not be living if he was. And if he had something he could really hurt somebody with, unless he has packages ready to be mailed at any moment. And so, you know, you got to think of things real. The mafia is having a heyday with this government right now because it's crooked as hell, and it's wide open for business. They're trying their best to create this facade of a strong America, and the economy is crunched down to nothing. You have no
business going on in America. China, which was 10 years behind us 2 years ago, has caught us. Now, understand something. If less you people get control of yourselves and vote some kind of balance, I didn't say, I don't care who you're for real. If you want the United States to survive, the paring down of the military so that people could walk in on your country if they want to, the paring down of your ability to make money in this country so you're totally subjected to the government for feeding and for clothing and for then shelter at times. Now, it's going to take a little bit of time, yes, but guess what? You're at that point right now, and these progressives have put you there.
What progressives?
The progressives that are in this business destroy. We're warming the globe. We have to shut it down. We can't feel that snail darted fish. So all of California,
Jeff, breathe.
No,
breathe,
all of California,
breathe.
I was gonna say it's all of
Friday.
California. It's always this day for me. Tracy, I'm telling you.
What?
I'm so fed up with this country. I'm fed up with the way that the politics is working. I'm fed up.
Yeah. It's gonna be okay.
I'm fed up with the idiotic people that believe it, and they don't think past the end of their nose, and they can't give you a reason for what they even think and believe.
Listen. The number is 347-945-5229. I've got to take a break in just a minute. But Jeff, when you're asleep, you're not thinking like that. Mm-hmm. You're not rational. So when you look at zombies, so let the people rest. Listen,
I'm logical. Yeah. My dreams are very logical.
Listen, I have a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot fulfill a dream if you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
No, they sleep. So and you can't help that they sleep. They tired.
Tracy, hold on a second. Did Jeff just say
what, Kobe the man?
Did Jeff just say he's logical?
Always.
Oh, I'm taking a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 44 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 2nd of May. I hope you're having a good day. We'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Tomorrow, the Men's Rally in the Valley in Youngstown will feature four speakers from A&E's Duck Dynasty. Organizers expect anywhere between 5,000 to 6,000 people to attend the fifth annual event. Phil Robertson, his son Alan, and their wives are expected to speak to the crowd. One of the event's founders went to Louisiana last year and asked the Robertsons to speak at the rally. Everything kicks off at 9 a.m. tomorrow, but the Robertsons will take the stage in the afternoon. The city of Youngstown has launched a new crime prevention program this year called Violence Interruption Patrols. Officials plan to work together to crack down on gun and gang violence in the valley. And timing is everything. The University of Akron could name a new president on Monday, the very same day Jim Tressel is scheduled to visit YSU for his interview. Tressel has applied for the president position at both schools. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
Newcastle School of Trades focuses exactly on what's needed to start a career in the new economy.
The great thing about Newcastle School of Trades is we've been in existence since 1945, so the trades that are in demand now through oil and gas, we're an expert in these areas. We've been doing them for quite some period of time. As a matter of fact, if you walk through the halls of Newcastle School of Trades, you'll see lists of over 1,000 employers that have hired our graduates. So we've had a lot of success matching the skills of our graduates with the demands of the employers in our area.
To find out more about Newcastle School of Trades, call 1-800-837-8299 or see a complete list of courses and services at ncstrades.edu.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-WAVE.
The Savage Nation is heard here on News Talk 600.
Radio is exciting, and you can be part of it. We're looking for qualified candidates to join our sales team. If you're energetic, enjoy fast-paced workdays, and are striving to earn a higher income, your path to the next level starts here on the radio. You'll work directly with local business owners, showing them how our radio stations can help attract new customers to their business. To arrange a confidential appointment with our director of sales, email your resume to brad.marshall@cumulus.com. Cumulus is an equal opportunity employer.
Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep because someone broke into her apartment and stole all her sheep, not to mention a 50-inch flat-screen TV. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency had helped her with renter's insurance, and she got full replacement. She has since trained her sheep to do voice impressions of various attack dogs, and now feels very safe. Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
This is an important announcement for anyone with a student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-293-9219. That's 1-800-293-9219. When you call the Direct Student Aid Hotline, you will get free information. Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing endless student loan. If you are behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, Direct Student Aid can help you. You can cut your payments in half right away. Direct Student Aid will also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-293-9219. Direct Student Aid has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-293-9219 for free information today. That's 1-800-293-9219.
This is News Talk 600. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
He was an Uncle Tom. What did you mean by that?
Well, if you look at his decisions on the court, they have been adverse to the minority community, and the people I represent have a real issue with an African-American not being sensitive to those issues.
Calling him an Uncle Tom, though, isn't that a racially charged term?
For some it is, but to others it's the truth.
Because, you know, looking at that and hearing that kind of language, that certainly wouldn't be, you know, appropriate if it was coming from somebody who was white.
But I'm black.
So it makes it okay?
Well, I mean, you asked me the question, and I'm giving you the response. The people that I represent, for the most part, have a real issue with those decisions. Voter ID, affirmative action, the Affordable Care Act, all those issues are very important. And for someone in the court, who's African-American and not sensitive to that, is a real problem.
And the other thing that you were talking about is the fact that you believe that some of the opposition, maybe even much of the opposition to the president, is because of the color of his skin.
Well, I've been here a long time, and I've seen a lot of issues come before Congress. I've never seen the venom put forth on another candidate or president like I've seen with this president. And that's my opinion.
And are there specific things that people have said that are racially tinged that make you say that, or you think it's just you're just reading the tea leaves of what's going on?
I've seen
like a rat in the mousetrap.
State of the Union messages.
She fed him the baby. Took
I've
it.
Never
wow.
heard a president called a liar in a State of the Union message.
You think Congressman Wilson, that was race-based?
Well, I've never heard it before. I mean, it was a stupid decision, question, statement, but it has no real bearing there.
the last question, just broadly, I mean, you're going into a meeting with Congressman Ryan. Where do you think the Republican Party is right now when it comes to issues of race? You have younger people in the party who are trying to reach out to the African-American community. Do you see things changing?
Well, you only see it change when you see the policies change, when you see programs that have been beneficial to the survival of African-Americans in this country being cut, whether it's Head Start, whether it's the nutrition programs, whether it's educational programs, job training programs. It's hard to demonstrate that you care about people when the programs that they hold closest to their survival are being put on the chopping block.
Mitch McConnell saying that his comments were racist.
Well, it had nothing to do with that. The comments were insensitive. To say to a president that you're going to oppose anything that he puts up is just totally...
But you think it was race-based?
Well, I've never heard it said to any other president.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. That was Congressman out of, I want to say, he was out of Mississippi.
I think he's South Carolina.
Yeah, he's out of Mississippi. His name is Bernie Thompson. He's out of Mississippi. And he called Clarence Thomas and Uncle Tom because he didn't like the decisions that Clarence Thomas was making. And he said because he didn't have the heart of African Americans. And so in the response that I've been reading, I did some research on this. It also said that, you know, why can't we be less than white people? Silly black leftist Negroes. And that was a comment that somebody made about this, because the more they try to equalize, the more that we try to make us a substandard, and that's the rationale that they tend to be fighting for. Do you want to be equal, or do you want to be inferior? Yeah.
Tracy, that's the problem. She didn't ask him one serious question about the issues facing the country today. All she did was race bait throughout that interview.
But hold on, Eric. One of the issues, the problems that Republicans have is that their platform, that no one is really talking about empowering. And if you do, it's not empowering to blacks. So
that's what I'm saying. So all she
That voting block is not even up for – and I'm conservative, but I still have to look at it and say, well, the Republicans aren't really doing what they should to reach out to black people. They're not. And on a local level, my brother's having a consortium for businesses under $1,000. He's a black Republican. That's on a local, state and local level. These people won't listen to people like Tracy when she comes in the room and say, hey, maybe you guys need to have this or that. And they know this. I think these people are intelligent enough in the Republican Party to know what it takes to reach minorities. So
I agree.
They have an issue because there are people in that party that don't feel like they need black people yet. And when they get to that point, then you'll see it. But they don't feel like they need us yet.
But
so
Alabama, let me say
to that point,
let me
open,
say it this way.
They're going to continue to get beat up.
Let me say it this way, and being a person that sits somewhere close to some of these people. You know, when you think that you're the smartest person in the room, you don't listen to the person that you don't think is not as smart as you. And so white people have a problem thinking that they know what works best for black people. And so instead of going and asking people who are black about what they should do about an issue, they go and find someone that they're comfortable with and ask them what they should do about those people or what are those issues. And because they do it that way, that's why they don't get anything done. And I can honestly attest to that.
And that's what offends me. You know, you know, don't sit there and ask me whether you think Mitch McConnell doesn't agree with the president because he's black. I mean, come on, man.
What it is when you ask him that question, one, you should have had a black journalist ask those questions. But I know Jeff and I have had many conversations about things that we need to do in the Republican Party. And where we need to go in the Republican Party, and how we need to bring things up for African Americans inside of the Republican Party. But they always want to soften it. They want to do it their way. They got their own way of doing it. not realizing just because black people speak the same language, their culture is totally different.
Tracy,
my brother got a program where he's going to have some people write some grants, and they're going to go out and give the money to small minorities. The lady wanted to switch it to anyone. The white lady, she was like, I don't like the fact that it's just blacks. We need to go for everyone. We can't just be focusing on. That is why they're going to lose right there, because blacks are going to look at it and say, well, it's a program, but it's not for us. It's for white people. That's what they're going to think. Even if it's a business under $1,000. Now, anybody that can't get $1,000, you don't need to go into business anyway because you ain't got no discipline.
Hold on, Alabama. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I wanted Kavina Man to touch in on that first before I make something, because he was saying something earlier. But you need to take a look at something. Republicans.
3 minutes.
Oh well, forget it.
No, go ahead.
You just need to take a look at something that you're hearing more of the people say. The Republicans aren't doing policy to help blacks versus it being the truth. Because here's the whole thing. Consistently, Republicans have done policy to help blacks, but blacks don't want help. They want handouts. And that's what you have the difference in culture about. That's what that man just said. The programs and the things that we have that have made our life better. And see, it hasn't made your life better. It's made your stupid mind dependent on the government for whatever you get, and you don't know how to go get nothing for yourself. You're sitting there waiting with your hands out and bent over waiting for somebody to give you something.
The problem is,
I'm sick of that stupidity.
That's all program is. Yeah. Program is a code word for handout.
That's what it is. And all it is crippling.
We don't, but the thing is, you have enabled me to the point so where I am, I'm really handicapped.
Of course you're really handicapped, because you don't know how to go do nothing.
I don't know that I don't know how to do. That's the problem. I'll be right back.
That's
you're
like you have that ignorant man saying.
Here on WSOM, the number 347-945-522, and we'll be right back.
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy.
I didn't get to say nothing. Actual topic they're talking about could be a good topic if, you know, people would say their point and let somebody else speak and then, you know, let the dialogue continue. But a lot of people like to get on the filibusters and shout over people. nobody's talking, man. But I wanted to address Jeff's earlier statement that he made about a half hour ago, and then they went to a break, and I tried to come back and get in and play the comments about the Uncle Tom. I tried to get in. They wouldn't let me in on that one either. But oh well. Jeff is talking about he's logical, and he just made a statement that was completely illogical about comparing, because there's abortion, then these viruses for the pigs or birds or whatever he had mentioned, he believes that there's some kind of connection between the two. Is that based on evidence or just based on faith?
Hello, guys.
Hey, what's up, Stan?
Hey, what happened this morning? What happened? I just called in. What happened?
Oh, it's Open Mic Friday, so they started talking about Alabama was talking about weightlifting first, and then they went and started talking about they played a clip where a congressman had called Clarence Thomas and Uncle Tom, and then he went off the rails on that.
Yeah. But what was the last part when Jeff was asking her, so you're not going to take your responsibility of woman or something like that? What was that about?
I don't know. Jeff's been throwing some random stuff in here this morning. I think even Tracy having a hard time following where he's coming from on this one.
Okay. Well,
Jeff is upset
the question I want to ask you, when somebody calls you names and everything, I have a philosophy in my life that I say to myself, nobody could hurt me without my permission. I truly believe in that philosophy, because if I started letting other people control my life, my emotion, I would be all over the case. I would basically say I would not be in control of my emotion. I would not be in control of my action. It would depend on other people saying whatever they need to say. If somebody called me a nigger or somebody called me bad words, I would be a major headache, because you call me that and you hurt me. But when I have that philosophy, nobody can hurt me. You could call me those names, but the final say stops with me. If I don't believe that I'm a nigger, or if I don't believe that I'm stupid, if I don't believe those things, there's nothing you could do. What do you think about that?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, I work with kids, and sometimes you have to tell them, don't respond to certain verbal provocations or whatever. And a lot of times that's what that is. It's like someone's trying to get aroused out of you, trying to get something out of you that they can attack or give a reason to attack by name calling.
Yeah. And by putting you down and this and that. Because when I see that from women and men, that sometimes they say, you will receive, you put me down on my self-esteem. I'm like, no, self-esteem. Self-esteem, the definition of self-esteem is esteem of yourself. It doesn't go with others. It's your own responsibility to have esteem of yourself. If you do not have esteem of yourself, you can't blame it on other people. You got to look at yourself and find out how come you don't have self-esteem. Other people could say things to you, but your self-esteem is your own responsibility.
Yeah, I think in my line of work, you're dealing with people who have emotional issues based on one thing or another. So it's easy said than done. A lot of people can't really process that information. It takes a whole lot of
It takes a lot of maturity. It takes it. Because if you do not have that philosophy in your life, forget about your life. You could be an adult and everybody could jack you up and say anything. And then you'll be all emotional and all this. Oh, well, he hurt me. He did that. He did this. And I'm looking at that person. Fine. Even if he did all those things, what did you do? What did you do to resolve that issue? Stop being a victim. Stop. Try to be owner of your life. And I feel too much people, Americans, why women or men are not owners of life, especially women. Oh, my husband didn't do that. My husband didn't do this. I'm like, okay, fine. He didn't do all those things that you expect him to do. What are you going to do about it? What is the stuff you could do to contribute to the relationship? They don't want to hear that one. They want to hear, oh, yes, the man is wrong and this and that. You don't want to hear the other part. It's okay, fine, that man is wrong and that man is wrong. What do you contribute?
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Hey, I think I'm going to go and see Charlie Staples this afternoon, so you ought to come out and meet me.
Charlie Staples.
Get a couple of.
What time are you going to Charlie Staples?
It's going
to
be, I'm going to go probably around 12:30, 1 o'clock.
I got to go work
Charlie Staples off. You can't be eating Charlie Staples at night and go to bed. Got to go to Charlie Staples in the afternoon and so you can eat it off, work it off. So I'm going after this afternoon. So if anybody's in the area, come on down to Charlie Staples and get a couple of.
You ever watch on TV? I mean, I know that's not where we're going yet, so you might want to play this ignorant guy again.
Who?
But look at Jay Carty. Jay Carty acting out. He think he really persuading somebody that, no, they didn't cover
nothing up.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
Nothing. The
he's first 48.
They need to call Diva.
Hey, you know, she said on her Facebook she was coming back here. I couldn't believe that.
That's what I'm saying. Diva, they need to make Diva the press secretary. She'd make a good one.
We're going to tell you that you don't know what you're talking about.
They said
you're in that bubble out there.
Bill wants to know where they can find a black journalist to interview. They can call me. This is because I'm a black journalist and I would gladly.
I would gladly
ask him the hard question. See, let me ask him. You know, they got mad at me because I said he don't like black people. Maybe I should have said he doesn't respect them. He might like them, but he don't respect them. It makes a difference. But okay, what were we talking about? Clarence Thomas and affirmative action.
Yeah, well.
And Covina Man was out there. You wanted to ask Covina Man a question.
No, I didn't want to ask him nothing. I want to hear what he's talking about.
I'm going to tell you what Covina Man's going to say.
What's that?
Covina Man's going to say, Eric.
White supremacy.
It's white supremacy. It's all in the white supremacy. And everything belongs to white supremacy. So help me, white supremacy. That's what he's going to say. He's going to say that the man's been, he's been bamboozled. He's been brainwashed by white supremacy. He's no longer a part of the black community. And that because of his upbringing and because of his racial inidentity, in a new word, inidentity,
right,
he can no longer be a part of the black community because of white supremacy.
Can I say this?
What?
If he said all that, he'd be absolutely right, because Clarence Thomas don't want nothing to do with being black. Nothing to do with it, and that's why I don't like him.
I don't
because it's one thing to be conservative, and it's another thing to not want to be black.
I don't think that he doesn't want to be black.
Okay.
I think he has made himself so far removed from the black community that he thinks he is completely and totally equal with everyone.
He's got OJ-itis.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
He's got OJ-itis. That's a good term.
OJ-itis.
Hey, Eric, put your phone on mute because when we get a lot of feedback. He's got OJ-itis. OJ-itis is when you think that you are so far from the black community that you have completely matriculated into white society,
and there
is no division.
Yeah, I guess it is.
I don't believe people don't think that they're black. They just think that they're equal.
No, it's not that they don't think they're black.
Or
they don't want to be black.
I don't think he minds being black.
I
don't think he minds being black. I don't think he realizes that he's still black.
I think black is a good thing.
Black tans well. Black holds age well. But let me say this: what happens with black? And you get with all that the positive that come with black, you get the negatives of black, and he wants to be completely untouched by that. Who's that? Kobe and the Man, or is that Stanley?
That's me. I want to know, what do you mean he's not acting black or he's not black or things like that? I don't understand.
Well, what they're saying is his decisions, because he does not mainstream with the average black American, because of his decisions on the Supreme Court, and they don't seem to – he doesn't seem to do what he wanted to do. When they talked about the Voting Rights Act, they didn't strike down the whole Voting Rights Act. What they did was they said that there were 9 states that had to go through the federal government before they made any changes. And he said it's unfair. You need to set up legislation so all states have to do the same thing, not just the 9. People got all up and up. We're talking about they struck down Voting Rights Act. No, that's not what they did. What they did do is they made it unilateral so that all states had to come before either change it or do it locally, but they had to come up with something that was going to be for all 50 states and not just for 7 or 9. They couldn't pick and choose which ones.
And any changes can still be challenged.
Correct.
And so that was
a misalignment. When they talk about voter suppression, I think that's a big farce in a lot of ways. I do believe that it is up to everyone to try to get their people out and to suppress the people that will not vote for them. Everybody does that. They don't want Republicans to vote. They don't want Democrats to vote. But either side that you're on, bottom line, it is the game. But when it comes to affirmative action, hold on. Yeah, you are. You're there. Hold on. But when it comes to affirmative action, see, my problem is they strike down affirmative action, but they still allow alumni to allow their kids to go through the school system. So my question is, if you're going to stop preferential treatment for African-Americans and when it comes down to affirmative action and minorities and women and whomever, then you need to strike them all down. So that means your alumni program that you have, you need to strike that down because that's a preferential treatment. And if African-Americans wanted to fight something, what they would do is they would find a lawsuit that a student got in based on their preferential treatment because they were an alumnus and sue and take that to the Supreme Court also. You fight fire with fire. You don't fight fire, I don't know what they use in spit. Seriously, if you want to fight this, then you fight it that way. The same thing with Donald Sterling. You don't fight this with spit.
They're going to get served on this one.
You don't fight this with spit. You fight this with fire. And so if you're going to go after somebody, you go after their jugular.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the affirmative action thing, if you want to keep affirmative action, then you got to get in the trenches and fight. If you don't like a law, you got
to
get in the trenches and fight.
But I don't think
but you can't allow it, huh?
I don't think you answered Stanley's question
what?
With that.
With acting black?
No, not necessarily acting black, but wanting anything to do with being black. And Clarence Thomas has long segregated himself from having anything to do with supporting anything black.
I don't think so, Jeff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm not a Clarence Thomas fan.
Listen, I was on Clarence Thomas from the time that his name arose to go on to the Supreme Court. And he is, he is who he is, and he was definitely qualified to go on the court. But the thing is that he himself had segregated himself from having anything to do with black people.
I don't think so, Jeff.
Well,
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I just believe that he has OJ syndrome.
OJ
didn't separate himself from being black or being around black.
No.
OJ just thought that he was equal with everyone else. And I think Clarence Thomas feels the same way.
Equal with everyone else. Go ahead, Kavina, man. Jump in there. You know how this works.
Oh, yeah. I just want to talk over anyone. I want to. The whole thing with the Uncle Tom statement, I'm going to be specific. The Uncle Tom statement, it's a slang term, right? It's like we have four-letter words and we have, curse words. It's a slang term. It doesn't have a literal meaning. It has a general meaning that's accepted among the group of people who share that slang. I'm pretty sure you got regional slang. That's a universal American black slang term that just means somebody who's working against their own race.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, okay. So I just want to address that because somebody in the chat room was, trying to ask, what is that? But
that was used wrong because actually they meant to say Sambo or something like that because Uncle Tom
was a good guy.
Yeah, Uncle Tom actually in Uncle Tom's Cabin helped the black people survive which many of us, you know, had to do because, see, you had to be pretty smart to survive slavery and still stay in one place. You had to be really smart. And, you know, that's what makes me so upset right now about the state of black people in America, because I know we've been demoralized and beaten down to a point of not wanting to act. However, you know, you are sitting back and allowing somebody to run your life now and to dictate what you can and cannot do. How is it that black people who fought and died to vote need 30 frickin' days to go do it now? And if you that they take two of those days away from you, two or three of those days, it's a federal offense to you, and you it's supremacy. It's, yeah, it's not supremacy, but it's a suppression. Suppression. You idiots, and get your people out there and vote.
This is. But it's a game.
But I'm saying,
but
I understand
saying,
the game.
I know you do, but I'm just saying it's a game, and the game is to get you off task. That's the whole premise. That's the whole. You are pawns on the chessboard. We will move you when we feel it necessary, and we will kill you, and we will use you, and you are like fodder.
I would tend to agree with your last statement right there, because, like, for example, like voting rights or voting suppression or whatever, that's a two-edged sword. It benefits the Republicans in one way when they talk about it. It benefits the Democrats another way when they talk about it. The Democrats, like, if I'm a Democrat, if I'm a white Democrat and I'm running and I want black people to vote, I don't have to say I'm going to do X, Y, and Z for black people. All I got to say is look at these evil Republicans. Republicans on the
right
hand, right? They could just say, hey, we're going after these. It's code word speaking. So they don't have to say, like Donald Sterling, we don't want you to associate with black people. They don't have to say, you know, we want to put people back in slaves. They don't have to say that. That's old school. All they have to say is, we're gonna go off these voters, and we know exactly what that means. So it's both words. I mean, it serves both camps.
And as I said that earlier, hey, the number is 347-945-5229. So when I say that, and when I look at Clarence Thomas and when I look at this congressman calling him an Uncle Tom, one, there's a better way to skin the cat. And I don't think we've learned how to communicate effectively one with another.
No, because we've allowed people to wedge between each other.
Because I should be able to call, as a congressman, I should be able to call or find contact and get with and say, listen, Supreme Court Justice Thomas, I want to sit down and talk with you.
You know what thing that I'm thinking of right now? You know, my father was in politics a lot, and because he was a Republican, he never got many of the appointments and things that his Democrat your contemporaries in things and positions. However, I'll say one thing. Many of them came against him secretly from the side. And every one of them died long before he did. Even the young ones that came against him. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You cannot be disingenuous in how you treat people, especially when it comes to political party, because it's like this. Tracy, you can help right now. You can help change some things. Now, the Democrats in the Valley can't do nothing right now because they have no power to do anything.
But this is it. I can help if you ask for help.
Yeah, but I'm with you. But
that's what I'm saying. When was the last time they when have they sat down and said, listen,
let's put a plan together?
No. Call Supreme Court Justice Thomas on the phone and say, listen, we want to have a meeting with you.
Never.
So I will bet that during the tenure of Clarence Thomas and those of the people who have long tenure in Congress that are African Americans, I will bet you that they have never sat down and had an open conversation about anything.
Probably not.
How can you work with a man if you don't know a man?
Well, the other day didn't
you
sit down with Paul Ryan?
Paul Ryan? No, I'm talking about two black men.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to sit down with Paul Ryan. That's what they do. My question is, and they fight amongst themselves and they do what they have to do. But again, I need to call you on the phone, Covina Man, off air and have a conversation with you about your views to see how we can work together for a common goal, to find out who you are. Even though I know that you can't sit up and talk about what's on the docket and all that kind of stuff, I need to know who you are before I come up and say, Uncle Tom, because I don't know why you feel the way you feel. I don't know why you are the way you are, and I really don't know who you are. I've only been told what I've been told by other people about who you are.
Right.
But I think what you're missing is, I think I'm assuming most black people, this is a 90-10 or 95-5 ratio type thing, where most black people in the 90-95% already know about what type of people Clarence Thomas is, like the Rock.
You don't. That's what I'm saying. You don't know.
Okay, but like the Rock.
That's what I'm saying.
You got to know the role.
You don't know. Listen.
And the role.
Okay, hold on. Let's go back to Donald Sterling. This is a good case in point. He was getting ready to receive the Lifetime Achievement Award for Civil Rights from the NAACP of Los Angeles, California. And when people sat in the audience, they sat there and applauded, and they probably gave him a standing ovation when he received it because of all the work he's done as a white person owning the Clippers and the money that he's poured into the black community via the NAACP. Am I right?
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, you have to buy your way into the NAACP.
Hold on. They don't know that man. So up until that time, most of the people sitting in the audience had no idea who he really was. And if the girl hadn't made a tape and made it public, then we wouldn't know today, and they would have been standing up there. Thank you, Mr. Sterling. Thank you, Mr. Sterling. Thank you, Mr. Sterling. Appreciate it. You've done so much for the black community. You have no idea how much we appreciate all your support.
Yeah,
you don't know him.
And, Tracy, here's another thing. You can't tell me that Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner don't sit down and have coffee, they have lunch, they have dinner, but you don't see Charlie Rangel and Alan West doing that. That's the problem.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. You don't know these people, and these people don't know you. And we get up there like and act like they're personal friends, and they have yet to sit down with Clarence Thomas, yet to sit down with Alan West, yet to sit down with Tracy Wimbush, yet to sit down and say, listen, what can we do to make our community better? Who are you? What do you really stand for? Because you're a persona of what we see and what we need to do. We need to find out how to bridge the gap. Do you really care, or are you really a horse's patoot?
Yeah, I think I would have to tend to agree with you on that, except for, I mean, I'm going to agree with you. That would be wonderful if people did that. However, I think that everyone understands what their role is. If you know your role, you know what Clarence Thomas' role is on the plantation. Why are you going to sit down and talk? You know, you watch Django.
See, here's the thing,
like,
though. Ain't no plantation. Here's the thing. This is the stupidity of what you just said. And that is that Clarence Thomas is not on any plantation because nobody's keeping him where he's at. See, that's the big difference. But you know what? You see that NAACP head out there by you?
That's a plantation.
That's a plantation because he had to go after what he said and brought embarrassment to himself and to that organization.
So why'd he have to go?
Why'd he have to go? Because he misspoke or said something that was wrong. Why couldn't he just apologize and stay in his position?
Like everybody else.
Right. But he got to go now.
Wait a minute. Donald Sterling ain't apologized yet. Why are you playing?
Thank you.
D.L. Hughley. He got up there the other day, said something about domestic violence and Columbus Short, the guy from Scandal's ex-wife that beat him. He had his throat around the neck. He's going to kill her or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He said something. He cracked a joke because D.L. Hughley, you know, he blew and crazy.
Right.
D.L. Hughley had to come out yesterday and say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What if he wasn't sorry?
No. So now when you start talking, no, Doc.
Okay, I'm listening.
This is why I love this dialogue, because you are typical as to why the ignorance of the community stays like it is. And I'm saying that because of this. I want you to start realizing that you're the one that's on the plantation. I ain't on no plantation because I can disagree with those that I work with and still work with them and on other things where we agree. But you are not allowed. You ain't allowed. No, you disagree, they kick your behind to the curb.
Absolutely.
And you are done.
Okay, hold up. Okay, Jim.
Ask Travis Smiley.
Hold up. Wait, hold up, Jim. When they say know your role, it's like, you know, football team. There's linebackers, there's quarterbacks, there's receivers.
Let's put it in real life because I ain't playing football.
Okay, what you're saying? Everybody got to know their role. The role of Clarence Thomas is to be the Uncle Tom. That is his role. He's not there to dialogue with black people or to work with black people. His role is to be the Uncle Tom. That's it.
Again, to me, that's not what Uncle Tom was. Man,
That's not what Uncle Tom was.
Eric, we know that. Just for the sake of conversation, we're going to use it how black people use it. He's not an Uncle Tom. He believes like and what he is, what he does. He was raised a certain way. He wasn't raised like you. And he wasn't raised being given anything. He was raised very harshly. His father and his grandfather were very harsh to him coming up. Just look at his life story. So he don't believe in none of the stuff that you believe in, and the little handouts that make you a certain way. He had to work for everything he got.
Let me say it this way, and then I told me the man, the plantation.
Yes.
He don't have a role. He's walking in his own mindset. Listen to what I'm saying. He's got his own mindset of who he is. And he doesn't believe that he has – listen to what I'm saying. He doesn't believe in his heart,
and
in his mind,
right,
that he is equal with you. He believes that he is equal with white America.
Okay,
yeah,
he is. I'm not doubting that.
He owes anybody anything.
And
exactly.
When you believe you're equal with
role.
Hold on, and when you believe that you're equal totally, when you believe that you are 100% equal with white America, then you believe that there is no more racism in America, and that everything can be equal because we all are one,
or should be under the law.
And those of us who are black, 440, your mic is on. Those of us who are black realize Michael Jackson and all his money, he did because he didn't know he was black.
Oprah Winfrey,
they trapped her and told her she wasn't all white. Don't get it twisted. With all your billions, don't get it twisted. There's a couple others out there. Every now and then,
Tiger Woods,
dude, I know you's a bad mamma jamma, but you still colored. You may be Caliban Asian, you might be something else, you might not want to be black, but you tan darker than a paper bag, so you still a colored guy.
Tiger Woods was lynched.
And nobody said anything. But we forgot about Nancy Pelosi hanging up Charlie Rangel and making him cry.
Shaking him upside down.
There you go.
The change come
there
out
you
of
go.
His pocket.
Go ahead, 440. Your mic is on.
Yeah, what I think the biggest mistake that you're all missing is that you're trying to blend in the people of government with all the rest of society. The people of government are not viewed upon inside a government as black or white. It's a matter of power. That's all it is. And I'm going to tell you what, Clarence Thomas got a lot of power. And
He's got a lot of influence. And he's got a lot of supreme. He has a portion of somewhat power. But the day that a black man believes that he is equal with a white man is the day that he understands he's going to die.
Inside government, it's all about power.
Listen to what I'm saying.
No, 440,
sweetie, listen. It is all about power when it comes to a white person in government. But when black people are part of government, and when black people are part of the political structure, the day you believe that you are 100% equal with the white man and all things is about gaining power, is because you never have complete power if you're ever black inside of the system. I got to tell you that.
Y'all can't believe that we're not equal.
Your president, we don't know what he's got. But it's not all power because,
what do you want him to have, absolute power? Do you want him to be?
No, I don't want him to have any power at all. But that president is doing the bidding for other people. But he's still. President Obama has perceived power, but there are more people supporting him
than just him on his own flight.
Well, that's every president. I mean, what do you want? What do you want?
What do you mean, what do you want?
Yeah, what do you want?
I
do you
know,
want to have power? Do you want a
no,
black not, man
you,
to have
you,
absolute
no,
power
you,
over the
no, you, no, you brought no, you brought Obama into the equation. So let me say it this way. I would not want any
that,
But listen, I will never, Jeff will never be equal with you head-to-head as a black man versus a white man just because of the color of his skin.
I'm not talking about that. I am talking about inside the government. They do
okay.
not
inside,
look at
in,
that. I'm
okay,
saying
then
that. That's
do.
What I'm saying. They are
yeah,
looking
oh, yes,
at
they
power
do.
About what the influence they can wield, all right?
Listen.
No,
it
has nothing to do with it.
Yes,
no,
it does.
Yes, it does. I'm sorry to tell
Ken
you.
Ken Blackwell is a prime example of
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
They do not want an independent black man who does not have to rest upon anyone else to be in there, even if he is a part of the same party.
Clarence Thomas slipped through the cracks.
Every, oh, my. I can't
Clarence
argue
Thomas
this
is
because
an
everybody,
independent
you know what? Nobody makes it completely alone by themselves. Period. I don't
no,
care what kind
not at
of
all.
Talking about.
We
yeah,
what
you know, and it's just, I don't understand what you're trying to say, and it's just
I know that.
And what we're trying to explain it to you.
See,
no, you're not inside
well,
the government. You don't know. Inside the government, they do not look at it that way. It's a amount of influence.
Who are you, man?
It's a amount of influence.
No, it's not. Dog, they will make sure that your influence never influences anything past what they're influencing just because of who you are, because of the intimidation factor. And when you are an African American, the day that you forget that you are colored, that your birth certificate says Negro on it, is a day that you cut your own throat.
Oh,
ask
boy.
Maxine Waters.
You're leaning so hard on that. That's
wow.
That's
well,
crazy.
Hold on, Stanley. I'm gonna let you go in a second. I got to answer this. This is why you don't understand certain things that we say, because you don't experience this. We do. We know about inside government. We're connected to inside government. We know exactly what we're talking
not.
About. Oh, you tough to get in there. See you.
Not at that level, you're not.
But
listen
Tracy,
to what
I think you do.
Family, listen to what I'm saying. And listen and hear me what I'm saying. Their politics are being played everywhere, and I have friends who are very, very wealthy that are African American who hide their wealth.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid because of who they are, it will cause them demise. As an African American, we have to play by a different set of rules just by the color of our skin. It is what it is, whether we like it or not.
Tracy, there's one.
You will
powerful
never be
black
able.
Man
who?
That's visible.
Who?
Vernon Jordan.
And then he lays low.
He lays very low.
He lays low.
But Vernon Jordan knows where the bones are buried, and Vernon Jordan pretty much gets his bidding.
But
that's
he lays
why he was
low.
Close to Clinton, and Clinton don't like no
but,
black
but
people.
But he lays low. You never see him raise his head. If you never see
mm-hmm.
him as a talking head, you see him laying low. He shows up.
And he don't take over
say.
Nothing.
He don't do nothing. There is it is a game, and I know you may not understand what we're talking about, but it's real. Go ahead, Stanley.
Yeah, but the way I'm hearing it, I have to say I agree with the other person. It's like, don't you think that the slavery thing we're putting in too much as an excuse for black people? Because
not
I feel like a lot
thing.
Of black people, I feel a lot of black people use it as an excuse of saying this, I can't do that, I can't do this because we were slave and this and that. I'm not saying as black men we shouldn't forget what happened, but I'm not saying that after a while, like I understand when white people say, after a while, you got to get over it. Yes, we were slave. Yes, we should remind them. Yes, everybody should know our history. But after a while, we have to take responsibility for what we do and stop blaming the past for what we have to do for the future.
It has nothing to do with what you're considering as the past. You're misreading what we're saying. We're trying to tell you that there is a sort of a power
underlying rule.
A power structure here that does have very much to do with race, because when you're talking about secret societies and things like that. You're talking about ancient organizations. You're talking about Merovingian bloodlines, which no blacks were in. You're talking about, which you need to look up, and so you understand what I'm saying. And you're talking about a whole cadre of different types of things that are made for one set of people.
The number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break in just a minute, but listen to this. Let's go back to when Michael Jackson and Al Sharpton were going to go up against Tony Mottola at Sony. You never heard anything about Michael Jackson doing anything, and he was weird then and he's weird now, until he decided that he wanted to come out about the racism in the music industry and how they treated people.
Right.
And as soon as you saw that, see, Prince was smart enough, because Prince was street enough to back out and go away. Michael tried to stay a part of it and change and do something. And the next thing you saw, Michael was rowed a boat ashore, and he was a pedophile. You have to understand that when you get to a certain point and you think that you can flex your muscles, they will let you know that you are no longer, you don't have that kind of power. You've got some money, you've got some influence, but if you go to influence the way that we don't want you to influence it, we will cut your throat and we will make you bow down and call uncle.
And he was also on the verge of bankruptcy.
Who?
Michael Jackson.
Yes.
While owning the Beatles catalog.
And as soon as he died, you heard more Beatles songs and you can buy more Beatles stuff than ever before, because he wouldn't release the stuff from the Beatles catalog and they wanted it. But that's a whole other issue. You have to realize how this works. So, yes, we're not saying that you can, you know, people are not treated with respect, but we're talking about power structures. And inside, when Charlie Rangel was getting ready to make the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, they knew that he hadn't paid his taxes all those years.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't new. But when he was going to become one of the most powerful people in Congress, all of a sudden stuff comes out. Maxine Waters. And they never found anything on her. Yep. Now, I am so far from their policies, it's amazing. But I can tell the truth on them. You ain't heard Maxine and/or Waters open up her mouth since, because she was coming out against the president because of his employment numbers in the black community, because he wasn't doing anything, because in all the time that he has been in the White House, he has not landed in a black community since he was elected.
Not one.
And she called him out on it. She had some town hall meetings in Los Angeles. They were gaining some traction, and next thing we knew, she was under investigation for ethics, and she's gone away.
Listen.
It is what it is. And so I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to play the race card, but when we talk about Uncle Tom's, you know, you look at Clarence Thomas, we haven't learned how to work within our own structure, even if we disagree, to find out who people are. We'll just put them on Front Street and blast them and degrade them and act like that they're not for us, when it's not true.
South Carolina Senator.
Absolutely.
Well,
Tim Scott.
Yep.
Well, I think
I'll be right back. You're listening to...
Stanley, man, I think that people are still making excuses about slavery. That's probably a crutch of something other or bigger. Cause I think that most black people bring up slavery context because that's the context in which we arrived here. We arrived in America, not as immigrants and slaves.
Yeah. They make it as an excuse. I understand it. That's the way we are. I think that we should all be know our history. Yes, we all should know our history, and we should all be black. But after a while, we have to look at ourselves as black people and say, okay, this is the history. What are we going to do? Are we going to use the past as a strength, or we're going to use the past to destroy us? I'd rather use my past to make me strong, to say, okay, this happened. I need to improve. I don't want this to ever happen in my life. What are the lessons we need to learn and to improve? What is the stuff we need to know? And I'm sorry, I have to come back to Alabama. As black people, we don't own nothing. We don't have no strong economic. We all depend on, we all hear the thing, go get an education and work for somebody. That has to stop people. Fine, go get an education. Every black people should go get an education or something to do. But then we should take that education and build something with it. And if we never learn how to build something with it, we will never be a strong black people, ever. You know, we got to stop with the job thing. We got to stop with this and that. Fine, get your education. Be educated, but do something with your degree. Build something with it. Because when you have a business and you have things to build with it, you have power. You have control of your life. And you could hire black people if you want to.
I think, I would tend to, you know, agree with you. I don't have a beef with that. I just, for me, I look at everybody can do what they want to do with their particular life. If they want to go to business, do business. They want to be a doctor, do a doctor. They want to be a garbage man, be a garbage man. If they want to be a gardener, be a gardener. It doesn't matter. You could do what you want to do. I'm not here to either shame or deny or put somebody down because they didn't run their life the way I want them to run their life. It's their life. They could do what they want to with it. My issue is collectively working together to increase our safety and other things like that. I really don't need to shame people into telling them what they're going to do with their career or whatever. That's really not my business.
Yeah, but collectively we're not doing good. I'm sorry, if we don't put standards in life, look at our situation as black people. 70% of us are not getting married. We have more single mother there is. We have problem of health. We have this and that. We are not financially have money. We don't even deal with those issues. And if we're letting everybody do what they need to do and don't tell the truth of saying this is unacceptable as black people, in 20 years, it'll be 80%. Or 90%.
Yeah,
if you don't
doubt,
put a standard in life and tell people the truth of saying, no, it's not okay. No, it's not okay if you're a single mother and you kick out the man. No, it's not okay to bring a kid in this world if you don't want a father to be there to raise the kid. No, it's not okay to trap a man.
Yeah, man, I think that, I mean, you're right, man, but I think the best teacher is experience, man. It's like I can't force a single mom to do what she's going to do. I can't force her to do that, you know, unless you come up with a way to enforce something, you have an enforcement mechanism, then you're on a different, you know, different page, man.
I don't want to force it, but if nobody talks about it and say that to the single mother and say, no, girl, you look good. Girl, it's good. Girl. And we apologize and we conferred, and this person said, well, there's nothing wrong of being a single mother.
But also,
but
a lot of these social issues occur because you try to assimilate yourself completely into white society, and you haven't built an economic base among your own. You don't have your own institutions, really.
Yeah, we don't have any. I agree with you. We don't have any strong economic, but we don't have also the strong morality of saying to yourself, "I say no, it's not acceptable that you did that."
But a person's sense of morality comes from their sense of culture, and the African American does not have their own distinct culture, which they can trace back to a foreign country, and that's what other ethnic groups who come to this country have. They have a distinct culture. It goes back to the country of origin where they came from, and they hold on to that culture even when they come to America. That's the reason why they don't have the same vices as African Americans, because African Americans are trying to imitate Caucasians.
Yeah. We don't know our history. The first solution would be to learn our history completely and be proud of who we are, what we invented, what we've done.
Sure. Why do you think
it's
that?
That's one of the reasons why. That's one of the reasons why African Americans
are involved. If the sun is out,
like homosexuality.
Hold on. Okay, if the sun, I'll change it. I'll keep my word.
Cut him off.
He had an award last night, but I'll turn him off.
Of course he won an award last night. How's he not going to win an award for the number one song across the world? He's the number one across the world. Can I get in your chat room through Facebook?
I've never tried that. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'm trying to drive Chris Jeff absolutely crazy because I have not let the song go. But the sun was not out. Is the sun out?
Sun is out.
So I can change the song. I don't mind. As long as y'all better play the sun.
I'd rather hear the Beatles, the long and winding road.
I don't want the Beatles.
I love the
And Beatles. The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy again.
Come together.
On WSOM-AM-600, the number is 347-945-5229. It is 46 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the second day of May. Today's May Day, am I correct?
Yes. No, yesterday was May Day.
No, yesterday was May Day.
This is the second of May. May Day is May 1st, is it not?
Is May Day this May 1st?
Yeah.
May 1st
okay.
May Day.
Oh,
and
yesterday was
May
Day.
The next holiday is going to be Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo!
That's the 5th of May.
All right.
Cinco de Mayo,
the 5th of May.
Cinco.
And we celebrate in America Mexican independence.
Yeah, we straight.
Hey, did y'all get that straight over the break? Covina, John, go ahead and jump in.
Well, Philadelphia. What I was saying is the reason why African Americans have so many vices in their community because they don't have a distinct culture that goes back to a country of origin. That's the reason why these other ethnic groups don't suffer from these same vices in American society, and African Americans do. Because African Americans basically have a problem in terms of their ability to identify themselves as a people.
That's not exactly what happened because we didn't have those vices in our community like that before the 60s.
But that doesn't speak to why when you get the power or when you get inside of a political structure, you can't attain total equality.
Well, the reason why they don't attain total equality is because they come from a class of people or a group of people who are despised in the country. So
why are they despised?
Philadelphia,
why are they
equality.
Despised? Why are they despised?
The reason why they're despised is because of the vices that they're engaged in, is also because of the incarceration rate of their men. These are all reasons
That's not
why they're despised.
No, they're despised because they're feared. And fear, when you're feared, that doesn't mean – some people replace or misinterpret fear with respect, and there's a big difference between fear and respect. African Americans are feared. They're not respected, and that's a problem.
Let me address Jeff real quick because I think a lot of times people have this misnomer that somehow – that, you know, because of the 60s and the, war and poverty stuff, that has created the conditions that black folks were in. If you look back through history, you would see, like, the Moynihan Report was put out right at the beginning of the, the war on poverty.
Eric.
And what he was talking about in the Moynihan Report was the same conditions that we see right now. It's like they were still talking about the same conditions about unwed mothers and the cultural stuff and all the things that they talk about now at the end or in the middle of war on poverty program is the same thing they start talking about at the beginning as a reason to this is why we need these poverty programs.
Oh, no.
Okay,
you're totally incorrect.
Let me finish your statement. And then correct what you disagree because I have no idea when he got to the bit. Finish your statement, Covina.
Oh, I was just saying that they were talking about in the Moynihan Report, and it was describing what Jeff would, what commonly think is what's wrong with black people today. Go ahead, Jeff. If you know what I'm talking about, try to refute it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, but the thing is before 1964, a young black woman in this country of childbearing age was more likely to be married with her husband and children than her white counterpart. So the Moynihan Report, which I believe was a report that was incorrect on some things that they said that was happening in the 60s. It happened in the middle of those programs because that's what those programs were designed to do. You don't believe it, of course, because it was for you all, you think. And it wasn't. Okay? It was to control you. Why do you think your black businesses disappeared after 64? Why do you think that happened? Why do you think that all of a sudden you started having in the 70s, you started having all this crime in your neighborhood.
And it has been reported that Martin Luther King said to his friend Harry Belafonte, I think I have just taken my people and put them into a burning building.
Burning building.
You're saying that in no context.
Pardon me. You have to understand, we were not prepared. We were not prepared for integration because integration is a two-way street. And what we did was we went one way.
But one way does not
make integration.
But also when integration happened, the people who were talented, who were in your community, they went and fled out into the white community. They took their
talent
out to white
people. That's what I said, Philadelphia.
People.
Philadelphia.
And so therefore,
that's what I said. It was one
so
way.
So therefore, you have a fractured community. You don't have the ones that are talented and that are wealthy helping the ones that are poor and are disenfranchised that are still locked
in. That's not what happened.
Let me also throw this into the mix. We need to understand that it is not about a handout. Yesterday, yes, it is. Yes, it
That's
is.
That's what 64 was all
no.
about.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's all
no.
about entitlements. And let me say this. I was looking at, right now, the federal government, because we talked about this a little bit yesterday with Mark Manji, and I thought it might have been a state thing, but it's a federal thing in reference to interns being paid. Let me say this. America is becoming Black America. When you don't volunteer for free, and when you don't have generosity and give things away, and you're always looking for somebody to put something in your hand, you're always going to lose. And right now, we are always looking for somebody to put something in our hand. And that does not work. And the problem is, the reason why people leave Black America is because when you get something, people think that you're automatically supposed to just do something for them because you know them. You just don't, everybody has to participate in the process. And if you just think, I'm going to send you a check, and you don't want to go get a training, you don't want to go to work, you don't want to come and dress, you don't want to take a bath, you don't want to actually perfect your craft, you have lost your mind. And people expect people to do stuff, and it's not going
to
happen.
You have to mentor people so that
I can't mentor you if you don't show up.
Teenagers so that they can
I am not mentoring you if you don't show up. I'm not going to pay you and beg you to come to work and be there. It is not my responsibility to raise your children. It is your responsibility to raise them, send them to me for me to cultivate them and mentor them. But if you're not going to do it yourself, you cannot depend upon me to do it for you.
Tracy, let me say this too. You in Philadelphia, you guys made these points. About, black people are doing the black flight and black people of middle class and stuff leaving. That's a result of the housing rights, right? But the only reason why people were there in the first place in these, let's say, inner cities is because of restrictive housing laws around the country and sundown towns and stuff that Alabama has brought up earlier in the week so you guys be educated about it. The people, once they were able to live where they want to live, they didn't want to stay in the inner city. That wasn't there. It wasn't there because they wanted to be there. They was there because they would either live there or die. So they just decided to live.
You have to understand. You can move. People want to stay in the inner city, but you can't move me out of my house. You can't be kicking. It's kind of sad that my insurance goes almost to another car note because I live in the inner city. My insurance doubles in my house insurance is because I live in the inner city. I can't send my children to a school here because you won't send your children there to learn, so I got to go to a private school because I live in the inner city. When your problems become my pocketbook, there is a problem and we're going to move. That's where our problem is. 718, your mic is on.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to take
a
break. Hey, how you doing, Amente? We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I don't know how we got to here, but I just said we started with Clarence Thomas, and for some reason we got to, something else. We'll be right back.
When you choose a Kubota BX Series tractor...
so what she's saying is that she feels no sense of social responsibility to the people who happen to be in her community at all. I mean, so she's not going to do anything that's socially responsible in terms of if that thing is involves the mentoring of young adults or like anything along those lines. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah, what you're saying is basically is if I'm going to try to mentor you and teach you how to replace a roof, you got to send your son to me with a transport up, wearing some proper clothing. You know what I'm saying? Not no long T-shirt down to his knees, pants sagging, that ain't going to work.
Right. But the thing is, if you have a community that's in crisis, it's your responsibility as a person who's a member of that community to also be involved in the actions to try to repair the problem. And especially if the person is going to claim that they're a Christian, when it talks about in the Bible the whole aspect of charity, having charity and things of that nature. So that's why I'm saying that this is something that black people as a collective have to get behind. They have to realize that they have a community that's in crisis, and you're in competition now with all of these other ethnic groups that are in the country. You have to compete for jobs, for education, and everything else. And then once the Congress is able to pass the immigration bill, and it's easier for a person who's an immigrant to move toward the process of being someone who's a permanent resident, who's a citizen, it's going to be even harder for black people in the job market and in terms of their ability to get into college and everything else, because there's going to be a lot of competition.
Right. Philadelphia, do you go by the name of Allfax?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, you sound like somebody else I know. But anyway, what you're saying, I think that's a conversation. It's in the wrong crowd. This is the crowd of a black Republican. This is not their issue. Their issue is getting black people to vote Republican. You know, you're talking something, you know, on a cultural level, which is something they're against. So you're not gonna really find that, you know, they're not gonna be receptive of your information.
Well, what I'm saying is that they are part of a community in crisis, and they have to learn how to be more a part of a collective rather than trying to be individuals and thinking that they will succeed as individual business people or individuals in corporate America by themselves. They're always going to be judged because they're a part of a particular group, and they'll never reach their full potential in whatever profession they're in if they come from a group that happens to be despised. And that's at the bottom of the economic barrel.
Let me ask you a second. This is Alex, by the way. I think it's Philadelphia and the Covina Man is on it right now.
Yeah.
Philadelphia. So I'm hearing you talk, and I got to ask you, what do you think? Because you're saying that you don't think that they have any, they feel any social responsibility. I'm not going to speak to that. I don't know whether or not that's true or not. But let's say that what do you think a socially responsible person should do to correct the issues facing the African American community?
I think that if you are a person who is of some means and you happen to be a member of the black community, you have to serve. You have to serve as a mentor. You have to get involved in the. You have to get involved in the local aspects of politics in the particular location where you live. I mean, that could be in your town or in your city, because you have a lot of people who are disenfranchised, who are living in the black community, who don't have access to anyone who is successful. They have no mentors, and as a result, they basically have no one to guide them in their particular families that they're in. And right now, this is starting to be a problem. So you basically have a real disconnect between black people who are successful and black people who aren't. And you don't see this in other types of ethnic groups, meaning these groups could be Chinese, East Indian, or whatever. You don't see this same type of effect happening that you see it among black people. And this is the reason why these groups right now, people perceive them as being more successful because of the fact that the majority of them are more of a cohesive unit. And so, you know, they have debates about the school district that's happening in a lot of urban areas. People are trying to make sure that public schools don't go by the wayside. These are all issues that black people who were upper middle class or who were very successful, they can be actively involved in try to resolve these issues, because these issues will affect blacks who are more on the lower economic strata.
Hey, Alex, it's Michigan. What's your answer? I really didn't see an answer to that. What's your answer to that question?
Hey, Michigan man, what's going on?
Oh, was it Priyanki?
Yeah, man, where you been?
What's up, brother? What's up, brother?
And you must have had a flat tire or something.
You ain't working for the FBI, is
he? Well, depends on how much they paying. It depends on how much they paying.
Yeah, where you been? Now, I haven't heard you in a long time. It's good to hear your voice. It's been nice up.
I'm good. Yeah, you worked me out of a stupid stupor.
I don't know why I punished myself calling in.
You sure gonna get punished, boy.
Yeah, I'm gonna when Tracy and them come back, I'm gonna hang up.
Yeah. That's what I did yesterday. I just listened.
Yep. Oh man.
Yeah, I was wondering what happened to you, man.
I feel him. Just every here and now on the internet. Just be busy.
Yeah, John hit it on the nose when he was saying.
Well, I think that Tracy is not following what the Bible says about Christian charity when she's talking about she doesn't want to get involved in like her attempts to help or to mentor other people who are having a difficult time in terms of their ability to get into school or in the job market. I mean, she's not following those Christian principles when she says those types of things, and she claims that she's a minister, I think. At a church or something. So she's not following her King James Bible, because the King James Bible says that the most important thing a Christian should have is some sense of charity, is a sense of charity.
Shit, if that's the case, you need to clear out all of them, by 95% of them.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible that the problems that the African American have can't be solved?
Can what?
Cannot be solved.
No, it ain't gonna be solved. It ain't gonna be solved entirely, because it's something they're gonna have to grow out of, disappear out of. All blacks ain't the same.
Right.
Like John was talking about, you got blacks who are skillful in that, but they want, for instance, school choice. Then you got these other ones don't. The NAACP don't want school choice. Then you got that NAACP leader out in L.A. He had to resign. Didn't come to find out he was a disposed judge who's been disbarred from a couple states for some crazy mess.
But the only way blacks are going to be able to be successful in America, They have to make a connection with a foreign nation. They have to develop a culture which is outside of the American culture.
Bingo.
Maybe
it needs to be
around
an economic culture. That's what it needs to be.
I've been preaching that forever.
Or at least I'm going to attempt to do that, because just being with my friends and family is just enough. And I'm going to try to get some chores done. I'm going to try to knock out the rest of my basement. Last week I went to the Angels for Animals fundraiser. This week I'm going to be going to I'm going to Turning Point Counseling on this upcoming Saturday, on this upcoming this upcoming Sunday. Mm-hmm. They are having their fundraiser. Turning Point Counseling is they're one of our sponsors. It's $25. You can just come and just show up and say I want to get a meal. Mm-hmm. It's all between 2 and 6 on Sunday at Station Square. You can come in. There's no taxes. You have to buy your own drinks. Except, you know, if you want anything outside of tea and water. You walk in and just sit down and have a meal, eat with your family and your friends, and when you get done, pack up and go. Hopefully you will be a part of the silent auction or the Chinese auction or the live auction or the 50-50 raffle and anything going on with that. On Saturday, we will be at the Breast Cancer Awareness Mother-Daughter Tea at Northeast Ohio or One Health Ohio there on Wick Avenue, Youngstown Community Health.
When is that?
That's going to be Saturday, tomorrow.
Oh, this Saturday.
Tomorrow. Right. And it's going to be from 1 until – I don't have it in front of me. I think it's 1 until – I'll play the spot to listen. But I know that I will be there probably somewhere around 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Won't stay long, but I will be there. I will stop through there, give you guys a shake your hand, say hello to everybody, let you know that you heard it here on Tracy and Friends. A lot of people, and when you go out and you've heard it, when you stop inside of our sponsors, let them know that you heard it on Tracy and Friends, please, so that when I go out and ask them for more money, they can say yes. Because if you don't tell them they heard it from me, then, you know, they don't believe me. And I'll be like, you heard it on Tracy and Friends. They'd be like, I didn't hear that. Well, but they did.
Oh.
Where else are you advertising?
Well, I got a private party tomorrow, but you know what? Next week I'll be at the fireplace on Friday the 9th.
You got to do that after Monday. We get confused,
yeah?
Yeah,
right, you're right.
You're confused.
Right.
Don't be confusing.
I got 2 days.
I'll be in Columbus next Friday. Does that count? Mother's Day is next month, next Sunday. Does that count?
My baby comes home next Saturday.
Oh, my.
So I can't go because I got to work that day.
How you going to have the baby come home?
Her mama can drive.
Not without her husband.
Sure.
No.
Oh, please.
Listen, don't you know why we have – do you know what husbands are for?
To get your coffee, open your door. Other than that, what are they good for? Man.
There's a couple other things.
To get your coffee,
open the door.
There are
a couple other things y'all need.
I don't know nothing about it.
Trust me, we do. There we do. Move furniture, dry, put cars,
paint, cut grass.
Yes, and go to take a car to the mechanic,
mm-mm,
change
the
oil.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got good qualities. We love y'all. Yes, we got to have men. Absolutely wonderful. Happy Yonke, how are you? Good morning.
Hello, how are you?
You know you owe Diva, an apology. What you said to her the other day was really mean.
Well, it's a mean, life is mean.
No, not on. I'm the only one here that can be rude. Ask Jeff. Jeff, what's the rule?
She only allowed me to be mean.
No.
I thought you
were
smooth myself.
I'm not, who, me or Jeff?
Hey, you.
I ain't smooth.
You better answer that right, man.
I thought you were smooth
when Diva
beer.
Comes back on here, you owe Diva an apology.
No,
so we
got
to go find Diva and put her back in here because I need you to say you're sorry because that was mean.
Bianchi say what Bianchi mean.
I know Bianchi say what Bianchi mean, but Bianchi need to say that he's sorry for what he said because you can say it off air, you can say it down the street, you get freedom of speech, but you got to say you're sorry on here.
Well, I see where your LA NAACP leader resigned. And come to find out, he was a disposed judge for some corrupted things. He's been disbarred from a couple states.
and once again, like I said, you know, I hate that it was like that. I hate that it was like that.
Like what, Jeff?
What the heck is that?
I don't know.
You know, they're coming up with all these dog people and the you know in Oklahoma they have a satanic thing
no,
going.
No.
Why would they post something like this?
I don't know. I'm just going down the street looking at what the people posted on the page. That's it.
That's crazy.
That's all that it was. And I was trying to figure it out. My eyes, you know, I don't have my glasses on. My eyes is all crooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
crazy.
A
269. Who is that?
Michigan man.
He ain't on there. I know he ain't. Cause he ain't calling the coon's age.
Yeah, you know. How's life on the plantation?
I wouldn't know. You have to ask Covina man that.
I'm a free girl. I ain't been on a plantation in a while.
Well, you got them invisible chains on, huh?
Oh, no. My chains is gone. I got the chains off my mind. That's what makes it so great.
You know why? You know why, Doc? Magic Man. Because there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain.
Yeah.
I had to get in with that. You know what? I'm going to blow his mind one day, though.
Mr. Man, how you been? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Absolutely.
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing good.
That's good.
I'm doing good.
Check on y'all here now.
I'm glad. I'm glad to have you around.
You.
Life is good.
Yep.
Sending y'all condolences
to.
Yeah, they still got me here. I haven't crossed the line too much. I said a couple things the other day that you know folks didn't like. And you probably wouldn't like them either, but I had to tell the truth. Hey, COVID, I'm sorry, Michigan man, question. How do you hurt a man?
What do you mean, physically?
How do you hurt a man? Without physically hurting him, how do you hurt a man?
I guess that kind of depends on who. Another man or a woman?
How do you hurt? How does a system hurt another man?
Burn up their peach cobbler.
Oh, okay, a system.
Yeah, how does a system hurt another man?
A sister?
A system.
Oh, system.
System.
A system. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I got to say, it's kind of easy for.
Yeah.
No, system.
It's kind of easy for a sister to hurt a man. That happens every day.
I think a system, I don't know if a system can hurt a man. Like a system can lock a man out of it or, you know, keep him from getting in it. I mean, when you say hurt, I don't know what you mean.
So let me ask you this. The Donald Sterling case, are they going to hurt him or could they have done this better?
I don't know. I think the market forces are going to hurt his bottom line. They're
How's
gonna
that?
Hurt his wallet.
How's it going to hurt his wallet?
If he doesn't sell that team, what that team is worth, what it's worth now, and if this continues, it's not going to be worth as much. So he won't
but
get,
how does that hurt him?
You know, get one second.
Because, see, I'm trying to get him to go, because I really believe that him selling a team for $700 million and you pay $13 million doesn't hurt him.
He's not going to sell for $13 million.
No, he bought it for $13.
I said, I mean, he's not going to sell it for $750 million.
How much is he going to sell for?
Well, he's not going to sell it at all because he's going to have to pay $300-something million if he does. And he's not going to do that.
Why did he have to pay $350?
Because that's what the capital gains is.
From that perspective, probably what will be hurt most from him is his ego. And let me tell you why. First of all, to me, he has a right to be racist or whatever y'all call that. I don't have a problem with it. He wants to be that in an open society, in an open European society, which he thinks he should be able to be that, and he cannot. So that's going to hurt his ego.
I heard that he had cancer this morning. I heard that he had cancer this morning.
He believes that he should be able to beat that type of man in this European culture, which I really don't have a problem with.
Right. And the most important thing is he's not the only one.
Correct.
There happen to be a whole lot of people who hold those views in private, but they don't say it in public.
Right.
It was a private conversation that he got dinged for. Did we forget that part?
Well, you're correct. He probably wouldn't have said that had he known the microphone was on and being recorded. He probably wouldn't have said
that.
There
you go.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I mean, the man's views are his views. And, my man Mark Cuban said it right. This is a slippery slope.
Absolutely.
You guys, this is going to be really messed up here in a minute.
Because if they ever catch the rest of them, because there's a bunch of them.
And
football, basketball, baseball.
It's not going to go against black people, too.
What do you mean going against black people?
They'll take the only few teams that just like what's her name? My girl that plays tennis. Let her have said Serena and let them say one thing, and they're gonna kick their butts out for being part owner of the Miami. They walked into this one, and the players should have been. Somebody should have told the players, shut up, and just shut up and play ball.
Because right now they got.
Why didn't they done sooner?
Oh.
LeBron, that's my boy.
They know the owners of their team.
Absolutely.
The owners don't show up for the game.
Absolutely.
440, your mic is on.
Yeah, I find it kind of interesting that Larry Johnson, he's the vice president of the Knicks, I think he's vice president, he came out and said he wanted an all-black league, all-black owners, all-black players, completely white.
That's an idiot right there.
Can I ask you a question? What happens if we come out and say we want an all-white team with all-white players? And can y'all do that?
Good. They should. Well, this is a race-based society.
This is not a race-based society like that.
I'm all for it. Let's see how many people show up.
That's my point.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, the reason why it wouldn't work for the blacks here is because, correct, the whites wouldn't support an all-black league. So if the blacks did not have the economic base to support the all-black league, it would fail. Now, the all-white league wouldn't fail because they have the infrastructure to support it.
No,
so
they don't.
Black,
and
that's,
all,
no,
that's
no, no,
not
the
even
white,
the point I'm making.
No, no, no.
That's not even the point. I'm not even making that point. The point is that you want us to be white people, all inclusive, but you don't want to be.
That's only
all
that man. Knows,
well, I'm going to have an all black league. Well, great. Go do it. We don't care.
I understand. That's that guy.
Be all inclusive.
You want everything to be all inclusive until it doesn't meet your needs.
Wait. See, listen.
Well,
listen,
you know the NBA could be nearly 90% black if they really want to. But I think what they should get out of this is some more black ownership rather than having all these white, especially Jewish owners, which would be ideal.
No, that wasn't too racist, was it?
Yes, it was.
You guys are something else, man. I'll tell you what.
Wait a minute, Doc. No, you're misunderstanding something because ain't nobody asked for that but him. Here it is. You making $10-11 million to play a game?
It would not work.
And you're gonna try to go down and only have black people support you? You'll make $50 a year.
No, it wouldn't work.
Let me say it this way. Can I tell you guys this to be perfectly let me be very, very honest about this. If you want to separate the game, especially the NBA,
right,
to an all-black team and an all-white team, you would have a boring white league. highly paid boring black white team, and you'd have a broke, highly skilled black team, and it would be very, very bad. And this we need to learn from the tech industry. Integration does work well, because when you bring a good talent and a good base and a good structure, and everybody brings their qualities to the table, you come up with what we have in the NBA right now. So we need to understand
Cobb's wanted an all-white town. Where in Dakota, North Dakota. And I don't think he said he wouldn't allow anybody else, but I was agreeing with him. He wanted a town that would commemorate white heritage. I think whites need to have towns that commemorate their heritage.
There's not a town in America that doesn't already do that.
Apparently he wanted to do one more.
Michigan.
Those cities exist already. It's called Washington, D.C., New York, Boston.
He said he wanted a little town.
Chicago, Los Angeles.
There ain't one city in America, well, there may be a couple, that wasn't incorporated by white men. What do you mean? All of them are white-owned. What's wrong with you?
There's one in Florida,
but it's still incorporated. It wasn't incorporated by them.
Yeah, that's true. But it is conservative.
South Carolina, your mic is on. How you doing today? It's rough around here.
Good. Yeah. I hear. But Tracy, I got a message yesterday, and I didn't catch it until this morning. And I just got to say this. Listen, I love Dina like my little sister. Okay, I give her AT double hockey sticks for her views, but I don't want to see nobody. I don't want to see her hurt, and I don't want to see her offended. And I'll just say it on the air: if she felt like I was being complicit in laughing about the comment that Bianchi made, then I apologize very deeply for making it seem that way. I did not realize that comment hurt her the way it did, and so I'm apologizing on my behalf for it because I was in the crowd and I did laugh, but I didn't.
Bianchi says, and I didn't listen to it, and I didn't go. I went back and listened to it.
It was when he said that she was unclean for being in a relationship with a white guy.
That was very 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 crass.
Yeah.
We owe her. We need to call her up on the phone. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Well, I'm getting ready to hang up.
No, you stay right there. Hey, the number 347.
No, I'm getting ready to hang up.
Why are you hanging up?
I never mentioned her name.
Well, I mean, nobody is unclean because they go with, have sex with somebody of a different race.
No,
because there's every kindred and tongue on the earth, and so therefore we have a mixed multitude of everybody. Period. Just because some have in history been a certain way toward the others, that's what they are. And there's no such thing.
What, you think I wasn't gonna call her?
No, I believe. She ain't answering you. You know you look like a bill collector. What you doing?
She's not answering.
No, she ain't going to answer.
I don't think she knows.
I think that she's somewhere else because she's not on Facebook either. Yeah, her Facebook post says that she's not there.
Diva?
Yes?
You're live on the air. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Hey, some folks got some stuff to say to you since we've turned this into the Diva show.
Hey,
well,
Diva.
South Carolina? Go ahead.
Hey, Diva, listen, I got your post yesterday. It came in yesterday. I didn't get my post this morning. And I wanted to tell you that, I didn't realize that
the comment that was made, you know, a few days ago hurt you like it did. I mean, I laughed and, you know, just thought it was joking. I had no idea that it was as serious as it was. But I just want to tell you that you know, hey, I love you like a sister. And we don't agree on everything, but, you know, I fought with my sisters here at home, and I feel the same way for you, but I'm not going to let nobody beat them up. You know what I mean? So, you know, I apologize. I am so sorry. I did not realize that hurt you that way.
And I went back and listened to it. And I went back and listened to it, and I'm sorry that I let that happen. I did not realize that he said what he said until I heard it later on. It was like, wow. So I'm sorry for allowing that to happen. And he's hung up, so he wouldn't have to apologize, but you got to know Bianchi.
Well, I appreciate your apologies because it did. I mean, it.
That hurt.
I don't cry very often, but that sent me into tears. That someone would actually believe that and think that way. I know people are going to be who they are, but for other people to kind of co-sign and don't say anything and didn't step up. The only one who did step up, I felt, was Larry.
Larry called me later, but I don't think most of us really did not hear the brevity of it. We really did not. I'm South Carolina, I don't think you heard it I didn't hear it live like that until I went back and listened to it.
The reason why I know that what he meant, because you guys tease me about my relationship all the time, Jeff calls me a sellout. I don't get upset because I know you guys don't mean it. I know you guys are just poking fun. But the conversations that we have off the air with Bianchi lets me know that he really feels the way he does. And I know we're supposed to live in a post-racial society, but this is something that I've dealt with throughout my whole entire life, about people teasing me because, one, I'm not black enough, or that I might end up in an interracial relationship. So it brought up certain feelings, and people laughing that off. I didn't understand it. You guys didn't understand it. He was serious, and I accept your apology. And I was to the point, I messaged South Carolina, and I was like, I was to the point where I'm not calling into the show if that type of behavior is going to be condoned, then I'm going to be attacked by Bianchi constantly.
Oh, absolutely
constantly.
Not. No. Absolutely not. You know, I don't play like that. And as I said, I had no idea.
No, the only one that's allowed to do that is me on Facebook.
No, Jeff can't do that. You can do it on Facebook. I'm the only one that's allowed to be mean here. Those are the rules.
Diva.
And it wasn't even just him being mean. It was beyond mean. I don't mind mean people. People are mean to me all the time.
Diva, I'm sorry that happened to you, too. Hold on, go ahead, Eric.
Hold on. Go ahead, Eric.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that brought you to tears, Diva, and I'm sorry as well. I'm deeply sorry.
Apology accepted.
Okay. Go ahead, Stanley.
Diva, I didn't hear what happened. What happened? What did they say that made
you go there? Too late now. If you don't know, you should have tuned in. That's what you get for missing Tracy and friends. If you leave early, this is what happens. So you just have to tune in and check us out again. Maybe we do something else. You know,
same time, same back station.
You got to check us out then. We will not rehash that. We will not go back into that. That's not what we do here.
Okay, fine.
Sorry, Stanley.
You got to go get the podcast from yesterday.
We got to put that on
the end of our show.
What?
It's one of the announcements.
Okay. I'll listen to it yesterday. So it was yesterday?
No, day before yesterday.
The day before.
It was day before yesterday. And it brought up, honestly, Diva, I did not realize the extent of how Bianchi really feels about white people.
Look for
the reason why I know is because we have conversations during the break, and when you go off air and you leave the mics open, he tends to let his feelings be known. I don't care if you don't like my relationship, who I'm dating, that doesn't really bother me. But when you make such personal attacks about it, and then you make it seem like it seem like he thinks that that made it seem like the white people are not clean. And I'm like, for you, it blew my mind. I that's why I went off, and that's why everything else went downhill after that, because I literally, if I was anywhere near Pianchi, I would have strangled him.
Oh,
or at least tried to.
Don't do that. Don't do that because, you know, D.L. Hughley just got in trouble for going off on Columbus Short. Don't do that. Don't do that. Domestic violence. No. We're going to cut the apologies
out. It's not domestic violence.
No.
It wouldn't be domestic violence. It would be assault because we have no type of personal relationships.
Hold on, Pianchi. Hold on, South Carolina. Pianchi, your mic is on. You owe Diva an apology.
No, I didn't say it. Look, you going to put words in my mouth?
You heard us.
All right, say what you're going to say.
But you still say I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry.
I never said I don't like all white people. And before I was to marry another woman, I would do a background check on her and see exactly where she came from. And if she had came from a white relationship, I wouldn't have anything to do with her. That's just me.
But Pianchi, but what you said was very, very insulting because you said it directly to Diva. And even if
No, I did not. I didn't mention Diva name.
You said,
how would you ever clean one up?
No, you said, how would you clean Diva up?
Listen, Diva,
that's
I'm not talking to you.
I don't care. You can just get back off the air. You
can
get off the air.
No, we're not going to do that. You guys know, I will ban people from the air in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
we respect people here.
Yeah, you should.
We disagree.
Yeah, you will do that, Chris.
Yes, I will.
At least,
you banned me for a year.
Open him up for a second.
I ain't banned you for a year.
Bring him back for a second. So we can at least ameliorate this situation here.
He didn't already say it.
Well, how about let's give the man a chance.
Give him a chance to what?
Pianchi.
Yeah.
It offended her. Would you mind saying I didn't really mean to offend you, Diva?
I didn't.
I have some strong
feelings
that way.
Here's the point. I never directed that to her. What I did say, I meant, although it was not directly to her, but what I did say and what I just got through saying what I would do is absolutely true. I would not mess with a black woman that would mess with a white man.
Okay, now,
but what you said,
I just let it go because I wouldn't even accept his apology anyway, so it's no point in him apologizing. Because it'd be disingenuous. Because he wouldn't even mean it anyway. So I think we just let it go.
Well, it's just about respect,
it's about respect.
Well, you're right. You know, I don't have no problem with women that want to do that. I respect their right to do that, but you got to respect my right.
So let me ask this. So my question is: do you have a problem with black men who date white women? This is a show.
No, I think they dogs too. I wouldn't have no problem, nothing to do with them neither.
Wow.
That's strong.
Certain extent, anyway.
Yeah.
Wow. That'd be like somebody coming out and saying, I'm gay. I didn't know you was gay until you came out.
So, Pianchi, what is your problem with people that, I'm a black man that's dating a white woman. What's your problem with a black man dating a white woman?
Well, why don't we just leave it like that? We don't need to
get into this.
He's a racist. Diva,
before you think that he's a racist, I don't think he's a racist. He's a logical person. I just want to hear this. What is
this is beyond just this. He's a racist. That's why I called him one.
Okay. Okay.
Now that he knows Tracy, she is calling me something that I am not.
I don't think
you're
a racist.
So where are you going to ask for the rebuttal there?
I don't think he's a racist. I just
he
want to hear
him.
He
can't be a racist. He don't have power over nobody.
No, he's not a racist, but I want to hear what is this problem for a black man or a black woman dating a white man or a white woman. What is the problem
with
that? What problem does he have with that?
I said I didn't have no problem with it. If that's what they want to do, they can do. They got a constitutional right to do that, just like I got a constitutional right to associate or disassociate.
440, your mic is on. What do you have to say about this?
I have a question.
Yeah, hold on. Hold on, 440. Internology, is that you?
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Just in relationship to what you guys were talking about, just taking the discussion on its own, what's the difference between Pianki and Donald Sterling right now?
Nothing.
Nothing.
There's a big difference.
One is a billionaire and one is not. Yeah. That's it. That's the only difference. But in personality and mindset, there is no difference.
But I'm just talking about in the context of the conversation, him having that conversation with his woman and us having this conversation now. Is there really a difference between
those
people?
No.
That's the only thing I had.
And we're doing it live on the air, so I'm quite sure it'll be recorded.
And this is how those things can happen.
Absolutely. Go ahead, 440.
He has that right of his opinion. He should He should not have made it a personal attack, but he has the right to feel that way and think that way. Or are we all got to get out of
You don't have the right to do that either. See, this is the issue. See, this is my problem. And this is what makes me very, very upset with how we do things. Pianki has a right to come on my radio program, and it is broadcast public on public airwaves, to say what he said, and we'll go back, and Monday we'll do this again. Yet you get on here and say it, and we will demonize you to the nth degree. And I think that's very unfair.
Yeah,
that's
wrong.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean,
he has a right not to like black folks if he don't want to.
Exactly.
But that's not But that's not how we view
A right to be a Republican if I want to.
It's not just about you having the right. you are not free from consequence. The fact of the matter is you have the right to feel however you want to feel. Like, I'm pretty sure there are some black men on this show that will not date outside their race. There are white people who will not date outside their race. I don't have a problem with that. When you start looking at me as if I'm something else because I made a choice to do so, that's where the problem lies. You don't have the right to judge me for doing something that you choose not to do.
But, Diva, he has the right also to think about that, and he has the right to express himself by saying that to you. But you have the right to shut it down, and you have the right to say, no, I'm not like that. And you have the right to not take it personally because you know you're not that type of person.
But this is the
problem. I did take it personally.
No, Diva took it personally because
she knew more.
But no, Stanley, she knew more. But I got to go back to Into Knowledge because Into Knowledge said, what is the difference between what we're talking about now and Donald Sterling? And it all fits into the same boat. And everybody has the right to do as they choose. But we have taken away the power from people to be able to say what they want to say, even if I'm offended. I'm going to come back and I'm going to apologize to Diva because I let it happen on my show, and I take responsibility for what goes on here on the airwaves when I'm on.
Exactly.
Bottom line.
And you know, I ask you another question. What's the difference between what the that basketball team done, the Clippers done, and what Robert Sarver, who's the owner of the Phoenix Sun, had his players done against the immigration bill in Phoenix, in Arizona?
Don't change the subject.
That ain't got nothing to do with nothing. No, it's just this.
I hear people talking about the. People talking about the players shouldn't have protested. They have the right to protest. Everybody else protests. We protested in 1960 Olympics.
We talking about you. We gonna stay here for a minute because this is a good conversation. Because I want to.
I was commenting on into knowledge or remarks.
Yeah, Eric. Eric. Was that you? Or was that South Carolina?
South Carolina.
Yes,
hey, Al. I'm really sorry. Like I said, I really try to treat you like a sister, but, you know, getting my credit card, you can forget that.
I was just about to say, you know what? You know what make your apology so much sweeter is if you send me your credit card for those red bottoms I want.
And here's another point, Tracy.
You know,
why do black women complain about black men dating white women anyway? And especially basketball players spending rather than marrying a black woman, they end up marrying white women. I hear those complaints all the time.
Pianki. That's because we ain't got a man, so we complain about somebody who don't have a man. We don't care what color they come
in. Listen, a man is
But
yes,
Tracy,
Stanley,
the thing I don't agree. I understand with Pianki's coming, but if we're going to go there, Diva should apologize many times when she did comments about me about what I was thinking, and she was being back comment because I said I don't prefer white women. Well, I don't prefer black women. And she said stupid things. If we're going to go there,
Stanley, you need to apologize because you discriminate against fat people too.
Exactly. I should apologize for everything, and Jeff should apologize. Come on. Are we really going to go to that point as a country of apologizing every 2 minutes for everything that we do?
I'm not prejudiced against anybody.
I was never prejudiced against any type of relationship you were in.
Diva, you thought that Pianki was prejudiced said his opinion.
We're not going that far.
You've gone too far.
I'm just trying to say,
I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps, and I will say this. In the Marine Corps, we definitely do not discriminate. We treat everybody like they're black.
Tracy, I came out on your show one time and professed to the whole world. I told you I was made for black women. I prefer dark complexion black women.
That's
and no white man's got to worry about me bothering their daughter or wife.
But listen, this is the issue. Everybody has their preference. But when I say this, everybody has their preference of who they want to be with. But we have to make sure that in the context of what we say, we don't offend other people in how we say it. And to insinuate and or to cover up and or to make an analogy, to make it to where one person or one race is not as clean or is not as right as another is unfair. Or if I go outside of my race, you know, if I decide to date a Chinese man,
race was unclean.
Listen what I'm saying. I'm just paraphrasing and or taking the content of whatever. I'm just bringing it all together without trying to hone in on everything. To insinuate that one race is better than another, I do not believe that. I believe
and
that God
I never
made all
did
people
that
created
neither.
Equal. But what I'm saying, and people have the right to choose and to date and to do and marry and to be in relationship with whomever they choose, and I respect their choices whether I agree with them or not. That includes homosexual as well as heterosexual. I don't like it. I may not fornication is all wrong, homosexuality all wrong, all of it wrong. I may not condone it, but I respect a person's choice to do what they choose.
I do too,
And when I say that, I say things that I believe are right and are wrong, but it's never to demonize the person. And to insinuate to someone if they are in a relationship that you should not go behind them, it's kind of a crass statement. And so, and Diva, if you were offended by what happened here, and I think you were, and you should have called me instead of me having to hear about it via Facebook and online, because you ought to know me better than that. We have to make sure that we are sensitive to the souls of people. It is the right thing to do. That's what we do
and,
here. We,
you know, that's
and,
like the
and,
same
and the
thing
rules,
that's called.
And the rules of this show is we fight like cats and dogs, but at the end of the day, we never walk away hurt.
That's like you hear this thing where it sounds like all white people are racist. All white folks are not racist. You got some very good people, white people that call in on this, part of your show, and call in on your show.
Yes, I do. I got some great white
blacks
people out there.
Blacks have an animosity for whites in this country, which I can
hold
understand.
Hold on. 440, your mic is on.
And you're right, Jeff. Many don't.
Hold on. 550, your mic is on. Local call.
Tracy Winbush and Jeff Green. How you doing?
Hey, man, what you doing? Who is that?
Man, I don't know
who
him.
Who is that?
I don't know him.
I got my key tips. Hold on. I got to get
Yeah, clear it out because you know what?
Hello?
I hear this voice sometimes
Hello?
On other places.
Hello? Hello? Who's this?
Tracy Winbush.
Is that Ron?
Oh,
Tracy
my
Winbush.
God.
Ron.
But I fell off my chair.
Yes, I when I see you, I really have something to tell you, but I'm just telling you right now, I really appreciate the way you carry the show right now at this moment. I mean, you really stepped forward. South Carolina, you stepped forward. And your other callers, you stepped forward, and you all did the right thing. I have been listening. Even though some of the other things, the way you all beat up on Diva, I laughed. She kept calling back, and she took it. But sometimes you can actually go over to the limit, and I'm going to be honest with you, Tracy. I really feel you, and it's not that I'm proud, but you did what you knew was in your heart to do, okay? Because
you do the right thing.
I understand, but when a person does something, and when you're wrong, you're just totally wrong. And I'm going to tell you the difference. There was a question between this guy and the guy that owns the Clippers, the guy from St. Louis. The guy from the Clippers, he made a statement. He did not say he hated nobody. He did not say he had to go clean up nobody because he was sleeping with one. He just didn't want her with a picture or that Magic Johnson because of his friends, because of his friends. And he didn't want her bringing a black guy. He didn't say he didn't want blacks to come to the games. He didn't want her to appear in public with the black guy.
That's exactly true.
He did
true,
not
Ronald.
Say nothing about the go and even with the apartment. He didn't want black folks living in there because I know black owners don't want black folks living in there. I can understand that part. But the thing about it, he did not say go out and clean up nobody and all that other old crazy stuff, okay? The man did not say that. That's the
true.
Big difference. In other words,
give Ronald some applause
because
he hasn't been on a long time.
As far as I'm concerned, he's lower than the guy that owns the Clippers from his statement. That's just me talking, okay? I have dated white girls, black girls, green girls, blue ones. Trust me.
Hey,
didn't bother
hey Ron.
Me. Okay.
Ron,
yes,
back
sir?
In the day, it was open season, right?
Okay, I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen closely. I have a wife and two kids. My wife is full-blooded Puerto Rican.
Good food.
Everybody lips will drop, okay?
So that's I've got a sister-in-law that's Puerto Rican.
Well, no, I'm just telling you from what I is. I'm South Carolina. We've been knowing each other on the radio. You don't hear me come on broadcasting.
Full-blooded Puerto Rican.
I don't have to. But to listen to stuff come out this man's house, you got to go clean up and stuff. It's just, I mean, I don't even know how. I'm not gonna say no more, Tracy.
This affected
just proud of
you,
okay?
Didn't it? Yes, it affected
I'm
a lot.
Just proud of you, okay? Just
and you know,
that water come out that man's mouth. I'm,
hey, Ron.
Jeeva,
hey, listen,
Jeeva,
no,
you're right. Don't you ever accept that apology? I was proud of you when you said that. That's why I called in. You wouldn't accept it anyway. Trust me, I'll pat you on the back if I ever meet you. Give you a hug. Don't ever accept it. All right, Tracy. Bye.
Ron, I got a question. Ron, where have you been? Skip all the rest of it.
I thought you
abandoned me.
Nah, I like the guy you had there from YSU on there. And Jeff, I got to talk to you about Wasserman Schultz. Oh, my goodness.
Ronald, Tracy may not invite you, but I'm inviting you in. Yeah, when you come
we
to
want
hang
you
out to come,
with
come in and hang out, man.
You
ought to come Tuesday. You ain't working.
Come in
Tuesday because Jeff is going to be going to doing the polls, and I'll be by myself. I want to be here with Ronald here. I invited him, not you. So
you
what?
Think this your show or something?
That's why it's called Tracy and Friends.
Oh, forgive me. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's the day you're on by yourself, right?
I'm by myself.
Okay.
You and I in the phone.
Excuse me. I got something wrong here. You still got your same phone number. I got the other one.
Yes. If it's got all zeros, it's all mine. Diva.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Diva.
Okay.
I'm hearing a malicious rumor going around.
You got to go ahead and close your show up. I'll give you a call.
Okay, do that.
All right.
I heard somebody say, or I read somewhere that you thinking about moving back here.
It's not a thought; it's an actual action.
Are you moving back here for real?
Oh my God!
So you're gonna help me with my campaign?
Security.
Yes, I will. If you run for mayor, I will help you with your campaign.
You got to run for mayor.
I ain't running for mayor.
You can't run for nothing under the mayor, huh?
Okay,
how about county commissioner?
Can I run for dog catcher or something? You know,
no.
Keep it simple?
No. No, somewhere where you can affect real change. That's
I want,
I'm
and
not
dog
gonna,
catcher is
I'm
good.
Not, I'm not going to No, I'm not going to take the heat of my fellow Democrats and my friends for nothing less than you being doing, taking a position where you really affect change. No.
You need to get in.
Hey, 652, your mic is on, 330. You're local.
Yeah, it's obvious to me that this Sterling guy was set up. I don't know if you guys think it, but to me he was set up by his girlfriend, by the league, who's been trying to get him out of the league. For 20 years they've been trying to get that team out of his hands because he's the worst owner in the NBA. He's made all these lists, worst owner in sports, because he doesn't want to pay his players, and he's had a business model where he always drafts the rookies, and then they lose, and then when they get good, he doesn't re-sign them to contracts. They go to other teams, and so he makes money because he doesn't have to pay rent up because the Lakers pay all the rent, and everyone in that league didn't like him, and then he gets set up, okay, because she puts words in his mouth. The whole conversation, she puts words in his mouth. And then what does he say? She says, why do you hate minorities? He says, I don't hate minorities. I love minorities. She says, why do you hate Magic Johnson? He says, I don't hate Magic Johnson. I think he's a great guy. Okay? And then what happens is immediately they vote him out. They vote to suspend him because of a private conversation. He didn't go have a press conference and say, I hate black people. He recorded a private conversation, and he's going to get his business taken away because of private thoughts that he was expressing to her. Well, what did he say? He said, why don't you – well, he's basically telling her, don't post all your business out on Instagram. Okay.
Hey, you're talking to the choir here, dog. I agree.
Yeah, and I set Pianchi up. Yeah, and I put words in Pianchi's mouth.
No,
that's
something totally different.
No, that's something different. That was right on. That was right there.
It's not just Donald Sterling's words. It's his past actions.
But Diva, no, Diva, they're not taking him to task because of his
past
actions. They're taking
yeah,
him
they are.
Because of what?
No, 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 those past actions.
No, now, wait a minute.
He
already paid for those past actions.
This is all about money.
Right.
This is all about money,
NBA,
power, and greed. Don't think
NBA
that
under
it's
David
not.
Stern, the NBA under David Stern did nothing. Absolutely
they
nothing
do
for
anything.
His past friends.
They couldn't
for
do anything because it was Steven. It was never public.
Why,
Steven? There was a gag order inside of the agreement when he paid everybody off. So every time he got sued, there was a clause inside the contract that says, "I'll pay you $100 million, but you can never tell anyone the contents of why you sued me." This right here, you are right. He is a dirtbag. Fine, well, and good. But what they're doing is they're taking a man's property based on a private conversation, and just because he's a dirtbag and just because he's a low-down, dirty dog, does that mean you get to take his property because you don't like what he said?
The same thing happened to OJ. OJ got off for...
You're right.
OJ got off for... Okay, but what I'm saying is they're not punishing him for just this conversation. Adam Silver. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. What I'm saying is they're not punishing him just for this conversation. You have a new commissioner. The hammer came down on him. He is under a lot of scrutiny. The ball dropped under David Stern, but now it's in his court, and he felt he had to do something. He had to make a very strong statement, not just for the conversation, but for all the stuff that David Sterling had gone through and is now coming to public for.
Why
was so harsh.
But you have to ask why doesn't he want black people at his games? What's the thinking there when the NBA 66% of the fans are white at the games and he doesn't want black people to come to the games? I don't understand what the accusations against him are. He told her don't take photographs in public and post them on your Instagram. And then he said, you want to take pictures with your mom, your sister, and post those, but you're hurting me and you're embarrassing me. And I just didn't understand what he was saying. If he was saying, look, you're my mistress, keep a low profile, or was he saying, I hate black people? I don't understand what he was saying.
No, he was saying, I'm bitten teased because you're my woman on the side or out there. Rubbing it up with Magic Johnson and other black people, and it's embarrassing to me. That's what he was saying.
No. No.
Yes, that's
when she said, no, hold on, Jeff. She said, you know I am mixed, right? And he said, no, I didn't know. She says, yes, I'm mixed with black and Latina and Mexican. He said, yeah, but you said that you were going to get rid of that. Then in somewhere in the conversation, he talked about you're supposed to be this good black, good Latina girl or white. She's not supposed to let people know that she's black.
Yeah, because of his friends, though, Diva. His friends.
Okay, right. Because of the culture. No,
stupid.
No,
no,
listen,
listen.
Okay, everybody roots off. Everybody roots off. And listen, I'm at the end of my week. I'm at the end of my day. Maybe something will happen over the weekend, and we'll see what we'll talk about on Monday. I want to thank everybody who's listened in, who's called in, who's been a part of this conversation. I'm going to let you guys go for the next hour if you choose to. If you don't choose to, that's up to you. You guys be good, please. Please be good. That's all I ask. And anybody, but if you want to listen to our archive shows, if you go to Tracy and Friends on Facebook, you will be able to find the archive shows. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/Tracy and Friends, you can also find the archive shows. If you go to www.tracyandfriends.com, you can also find the archive shows. We are all out everywhere doing everything, going everywhere, and so you can always catch us. So even if you don't get us while we are live, you can catch us when we're not live. Private caller, your mic is on.
Unlisted caller.
I know who it is. So I appreciate all of you. Again, Diva, we owe you an apology, and I do love you. You know that. I'm glad to have you. I'm glad that you're moving back home. That'll be good, which means you can come in here and fight with Jeff personally, and I can put, like, bars up between the two of you. What else?
Let's get ready to rumble!
Jeez. And if you guys – the sun is out, huh, Jeff?
Play it, Tracy.
Okay, just checking.
Play it.
Just checking.
You know you want to play it.
Absolutely.
It's your show.
Absolutely.
Do what you want to do.
I
can't tell you who to play it to.
And I do want to do a whole show on interracial dating and interracial marriage.
Why?
Because I think it'll be a great show.
No.
Yes.
We don't need any more of this.
Yes, we
just
need.
Just don't let Pianchi fall in, and you'll be all right.
Everybody.
But
that's who you want to get.
I need the Pianchis because Pianchis, I really never thought black people really thought like that.
Are you crazy?
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, man.
I didn't either.
I never really thought people thought like that. That seems so archaic.
No, it is very large and in charge today.
That's so crazy.
No, it isn't crazy to them.
I have never had anyone say that to me, Jeff, and this is not the first interaction I've been in.
Thank God for that you never heard that because we're 90 seconds.
No, we're actually a minute because my clock is off, so we can just keep on rolling.
Well,
Tracy,
listen,
you have a nice weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Okay. A lot of people I know feel like that.
I didn't know that.
And Jeff, when that beautiful sister of yours come back to town with that beautiful complexion of hers, let me know. I want to go talk to her.
My sister will be back here in a few, not too long.
She don't want nothing to do with people that hate people like that.
Man,
If you want to know how I feel, I would not want to be with anyone who had that kind of mentality.
Oh, my sister don't play. She dated white in college. He's done.
I'm serious. I would not want to be around anyone.
I'm not looking for a wife. I'm not looking for a wife. I like the way she sounds. I mean, she's singing.
So you just
have no idea.
Talk. Speak.
Pardon
sing.
Me?
Hey.
Sing. You don't care about personal. You just want to hear her talk.
That's say good night, Tracy.
I can't say good night. I got another minute. I got to keep on going. God bless you guys. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday here at 9 o'clock. And you've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We will see you on next week. God bless.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM.
Hello?
John, where you at? You still there?
Hello?
Hello, who is that?
It's South Carolina.
Hey, South Carolina. What's going on?
Not much. I'm here trying to...
Yeah, man, that NAACP. That NAACP head in Los Angeles resigned.
Yeah, I saw that.
And looking into his background, according to Roland Martin, he's a disposed judge.
That's how the power is black.
Barred from practicing in two states.
Whoa,
all right.
That's Brown.
He'd be civil here,
and
he played by somebody's rules.
Trace, you better turn your microphone off. You're going to be caught up like Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
I really feel, huh?
Yeah, you're going to get caught up by Jesse Jackson, then Jeff's going to be running the whole show. Case everybody owe Clarence Thomas an apology too.
No, you don't. And you actually, you gotta realize you may not like what she does, but she's a person, and you tried to.
I didn't say I don't care what they do.
And your mic is on.
That's like a man dating a woman and don't tell her that he was once on the down low. I asked every black woman, I say, if you was to date a black man, would you not want to know whether he was on the down low at one time? Yes, they say. Yes.
One prejudice doesn't deserve another one, my friend. That's just not the way it goes. But, I mean, civil is what we do. I mean, we play it fast and loose with the politics, and we insult.
Well, I put it like this, Jeff.
Things like that, but we don't.
I'm sorry, and of course other people have said this too. People have said that they're sorry if what they say offends people, but that's just the way they are.
But no, to be honest with you, what I'm saying is,
if I offend people in what I say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean no harm intent. I really can't control what they do, and really don't care what they do.
Yes,
but when it comes down to me and mine, I do.
But Pinocchio, when you say something, you want listen. Your views are your views, but if I take it personally and I get hurt behind it, then we need to be mindful of that. That's all we're saying.
Well, I understand that, but yet still, it shouldn't put a gag order. The court hadn't put a gag order on a person, have they?
No, it's not a gag order. But what it is we are respectful here on Tracy and Friends. I am a respectful person. And I expect for everybody to be respectful to everyone else.
Yeah. Well, as I said before, you try to be respectful. That's what you're supposed to. You don't have to love. I'm very selfish and prejudiced and bigoted with my love. So I don't love everybody. But I respect them.
And that's what we're saying. And you disrespected Diva in what you said. And all your, I mean, that's the point.
No, she probably was offended. But I didn't direct that at her.
But it was we were talking with her and about her relationship, and you came in and said something that was very, very crass and offensive to her because it was directed at her because you were talking about her. No matter how you may not admit for it to be of her, but if you came in and it crossed over to her,
I wasn't talking about her. Maybe somebody else was talking about her, but I wasn't. So anyway, I let it go like that. If you don't mind.
I don't let it go. Hey, Intanage, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Tracy. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Glad to hear that.
I'm doing well. Trying to grow up and be like everybody else.
You're far beyond that, I'm sure.
No, you guys got a big weekend plan?
Not me, just NBA playoffs. Hopefully I can watch some actual basketball.
Well,
how is the situation affecting the finals?
What was that question?
How is this Donald Sterling Clipper thing affecting the finals? Is it affecting them in any way?
Just on the surface. It just takes the focus away from it, that's all. But it'll all get back to normal, I'd probably say, in the next series or two.
Are the Clippers still winning?
Yeah, they can eliminate the Warriors tonight, I think. If they win.
The line is saying every time that they win, they actually don't really make money. Is that correct?
Yeah, because the value of the team goes up. It, you know, as it was stated earlier, so the Clippers have traditionally been the team where players go to die, unless you come out as a rookie, and like one of your callers had stated, you know, you come in as a top rookie. If you do well, usually the Clippers don't sign you, and you go somewhere else. So he's spent the better part of 25 years just milking the team. That's all he's done, just milk the team. And now, you know, they got a young superstar. They got one of the best point guards in the league. They got one of the best coaches in the league. So now it's a team players actually want to come to, and it's going to be even more enticing once they get him to the side. And a lot of people are overlooking that part of that old guard that was still left, they're gone. Dr. Jerry Buss, who owned the Lakers, died last year. And then the commissioner, David Stern, retired at the end of the season last year. You know, those two guys, those three guys were like the oldest three guys in the league. It's a whole new breed of ownership that's in there now. So once Buss was gone, once Stern was gone, the next play to get rid of Sterling, all they had to do was wait for him to, you know.
They need to have some. That ain't my noise, Tracy. That's somebody else's. They need to get the. They need to be at least two, or probably four, all black ownerships of team in that league. Actually, about 20 if you could get it.
The owners have to agree on that. That's the thing. The owners have to agree on that. Not the public, not the government, not private. The owners have to come to that resolution.
And there needs to be, that's where the pressure come on. Blacks have a tremendous advantage, shall I say, leverage in the NBA, and that's where the pressure should be directed. If you look at the behind the scenes, what goes on in the office from marketing and so and so on, all those folks are white.
Right.
90% of them.
Right. But see, the thing is that today's athlete, Bianchi, doesn't have that social consciousness. Because they make so much money. They're just not connected. When you go back to athletes in the 60s and the 70s, man, they were connected to the community. Your Jim Browns, your, you know, Lou Alcindor, then Abdul-Jabbar, your Oscar Robinsons, and all of those players, they were connected to the community still. These guys today, and it's all about their brand. They get on, they get the contract, they get the endorsements, they get plastered on all these commercials, then they're divesting their interest in the other things. It's just not the same anymore.
Well, you know, Magic Johnson, it's a funny thing that you know it's a setup. But
right.
Magic Johnson's partners is the Guggenheims. Guggenheim, the Ashkenazi Jews, that has a family that go way back, even
money.
In relationship with the Loeb, who made a lot of money insuring blacks transatlantic slave trade.
Right.
And there's others.
Right.
So to criticize this one owner for what he's done, the relationships he had back in with tenants, and we know a lot of that's true. That's one of the reasons they came up with Section 8. Section 8. It was a big thing because this is the way when whites left the city, they left all them houses, but they maintained, they could still own them. Then they rented them out. Well, hell, you couldn't get your money out of a tenant. Then it takes for 2 years, forever and a day to get one out. And they was getting ready to pull out of their business after the government hadn't came up with the Section 8 plan portion that said that we would pay the vouchers and we would repair the occupant space if they tear it up.
Yeah, and Magic contradicted himself, because when the story first broke last Saturday, the next day, Sunday, on the pregame show, they had him on ABC, and the first thing that he talked about with Donald Sterling was when he first got to the Lakers, which was in 79, and through Jerry Buss, he went to a party that Donald Sterling was hosting. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he knew about the guy back then. Okay, just like Jordan knew about the guy, just like, but they all knew about the guy, but he was part of an old network. So nothing could be done about that at the time, and nothing could really be said about it by any of the players. And just to hear him speak out now, especially Bird and Jordan, is just kind of like foul to me.
Well, hell, Bird don't say some tremendous things against black people.
Now, guys, listen, I was trying to tell you guys, and I don't say it on air, but I went for the Lakers in 88 and 89. And this is not new.
Not at all.
I mean, if you knew Dr. Buss, this is not new.
Yep.
These old cats was rugged.
Hey, look at Ted Stephion, the former owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Look at the disparaging things he said about black people.
I'm talking about current owners. I'm talking about people that are in the mix right now, NBA and NFL.
They all interrelated, Stracy.
Absolutely. And you have to understand, they have been doing this for quite some time, and their mindset has not changed. The only thing that's changed is they will come out and now demonize this man and let him fall on his sword because of the money of it, because this is big business.
Right.
To go back to the Abe Saberstein. We talk about Abe Saberstein and the Harlem Globetrotters, but hell, Abe Saberstein was dealing and devin in black baseball at that time, being an intermediary for a trade coming out of the Negro Leagues into the Major League. So, no, you need to have some black owners. You need to have an appreciable number of black owners in that sport.
You still have black owners. Nobody
but
has $70 million liquid like that to be able to play. And then you got to understand how much money they have to be able to run that franchise.
Well, they have revenue sharing in the franchise. Now, I would say this. Before I was about to Clippers, I would look at that very closely, because Clippers, he's going to want $700 million. Is that club worth $700 million today?
That's the market value of the team. It's not what he wants. The team has been, they have been, that's the designation that they have been given, not by him. That's what their market value is right now.
Wonder how much money you can realize off of that in an investment. You know, Steinbrenner, what did he pay for the Yankees? $50,000, $60,000 or something like that?
Yeah, but Pianti, when did he buy the Yankees?
I understand. So if you bought the Clippers today in 10 years, what could you sell them for? Could you sell them for $2
billion? No.
Probably. I would think so.
I don't think so.
I do. But see, Tracy, you have to understand that in the evolution of sports, okay, the majority of the revenue comes from the TV contracts initially. Okay, then you have what Pianti said is your revenue sharing. So no matter how many teams that are in the league, you equally split whatever the TV revenue is. And then you get your revenue from your home games. Ticket sales, parking, and concessions. And then when you go on the road, you get a split with the team that you're playing. It might not be a 50-50 split. It might be something like a 60-40. Now, once your team qualifies for the playoffs, then none of that applies. That's just your money. So when you host a playoff game, ticket sales, concessions, parking, that's yours for the amount of games that you're able to play. So this money gets built on top of money, gets built on top of money. And what major sports has done is they parlayed the commercial television into cable television. So Major League Baseball has a network. NBA has a network. NFL has a network. They've expanded it. So they're just making unheard of sums of money.
And that TV revenue
into knowledge is what. That's why they come. They have salary caps because right. by the time we split up the money, you should on TV revenue, you should be able to pay all your players.
That's right. Everything is paid for. Just I think in the NFL, the TV revenue is in the upwards of I don't know how many billions. Now that's a guarantee for each owner of so many billion, maybe 3 or 4 billion per year. That's just off the top.
Of which they should be able to pay a lot of their overhead, including the player's salary. Mm-hmm. So once you've done that, all the other money is cash in the bank.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So in a 10-year period, and with the marketing in these sports being as strong as it is, they're heavily marketed. So they're constantly generating revenue. And then you have revenue off of merchandising. So that was the big thing. That's been big over the last 25 years. You know, sports.
Apparel, jerseys, shirts, apparel.
Tennis shoes. The whole nine yards. So man,
anything got the emblem on it.
Yeah, these guys are making money hand over fist. It's incredible.
Would you think about going to buy it?
The what? The Clippers?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. They're a viable team now. They're a team that's being talked about in terms of winning championships, and they're in LA. How can you lose?
They can't.
And I think that, like I said, I think that a black group, because, you know, Oprah and her billions, she can't pull that off by herself. You need a group.
Right, and right. And that's the problem. The problem is the buy-in money that it's going to take.
Right.
That's what kills everybody.
And once you got black owners at that level, then you have a better parity of blacks falling in line with the other ventures. From the concessions all the way down.
Now, hold on, y'all. You've got black owners that have percentages of interest inside of some of these teams. I believe
but they don't have that control.
So do you think that the Magic's going to have a team that he's going to control? They don't let
if he had a team that he could control, he's doing a very good job as it applies to a black interest with the Los Angeles Dodgers. But
that's
if he had complete control, you would see. See, my interest is in putting blacks all up and down the spectrum, parity to what they make up. And I ain't saying what they make up in the city. I say what they make up on the team. If they 70% of the team, then let's look at having 70% of the influence in all the professions, sports, medicine, and everything.
Right. That means they should be general managers. That means there should be scouts. Everything that involves the organization.
There's the knowledge. There won't be. You got to know Magic. That's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, I can't say it.
Then we should get on Magic then. Magic can't holler at us being racist for getting on him.
You know, even at that level of the game, I will almost bet dollars to donuts. He's going to be the same kind of owner he has been with anything else that he owns. At lower level, you'll see some black people. But when it comes to management level, you're not going to see a lot of diversity.
Well, you see, I say this. Well, maybe the Dodgers have been one of the most diverse clubs in the history of Major League Baseball when it came in contact with black folks back in the early 50s. And if he learned something from there, and also the Milwaukee Braves, not Atlanta Braves, if he learned something from them, I think he'd be pretty good.
Listen to what I'm saying, Bianchi. I ain't telling you something I read. I worked with him.
All right, then, Tracy.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Go, you know, do a records request and see how many black people he has inside the Magic Johnson Foundation.
Well, I don't know nobody else got the kind of money that he's got. Well, there's some in entertainment, but the hell, they just going to be investors. They're not going to be in the daily operations
right.
of the what
exactly.
they invest because they don't know it.
Right. They're just going to have a piece of the team.
It's
and
one thing to...
That's what I'm saying, Bianchi. I mean, I know a lot of black folks that got a lot of money that own a lot of stuff. But when it comes down to their front office operation and you see black people, you don't see them. You walk in their office and you might see one if you're lucky. That's a problem for me. So what good does that do? You're not impacting change. You're just making money.
Right. That's all it is. That's all it is. They're just shifting the money. They got to bring it.
Well, but you would agree. You would agree, Tracy. We have more leverage of making a black person do right than you would a white person doing right.
But what I'm saying is, no, that's not true.
I understand.
No. I've seen more white folks do the right thing based on the respect of our community that I have black folks in the same place. If you look at your school board and your city council, right now across the country, you've got a majority of places where African-Americans are in the majority, yet the system is still the same, if not worse, because they don't do anything for the people who look like them.
Well, you know, in St. Louis, you have a utility company here, an electric company, and they've had a woman at that time who was in human resources, and that woman was hiring like 9 out of 10 employees was black, especially the ones that's all up on the utility poles and that's doing the service. And I think sooner or later they kind of removed her. But I've had a friend of mine work for UPS, and UPS general manager came to him and said, look, I need to hire 10 blacks, and I want you to do it. And so you're right, whites do, I think whites do when they're pressured, but they only do to a certain percentage. If you got blacks in those positions, you see them do, well, you see some of them doing a higher percentage than you would see if it was a white person.
Not necessarily. Most of the time they don't. And that's where the problem lies, because, see, we get to where we're going, and then we lose our black consciousness, and then want to act like we got it going on, and we don't. Because sometimes you got to do the right thing, and the right thing comes from being just being black. But then we get mad because we don't do the right thing. That's the problem.
And I think if you had more black owners, you would have donations going to other black organizations, charitable organizations, other than that damn NAACP.
No.
Oh, yes, you would, too.
Listen, they would have better go to the own foundations, go to the own places. But if you really look at where the donations come from, philanthropic does not come from black folks. We have the money to give. What? How much has Oprah given?
I got to agree with Tracy on that one. I've seen it now. If you judging by what I see here in South Carolina, we just don't give. We don't do it.
We don't do that. We might give that church. Yeah, Tyler Perry gave some money. Tyler Perry gave $1 million to TD Jakes. So money begets money, but you don't help other causes out. Tyler Perry's made more black millionaires than anyone else. But do they hide somewhere and make sure that people get somewhere? Absolutely not. So what good is
it
doing?
I guess it's so and so in different places. For instance, in Chicago Cubs organization, they contribute like $500,000 for their RBI program, which is majority black kids playing baseball. So I guess it just depends.
Bianchi, I've got a black business owner, and I can get more money out of the white business owners here to help black people than I can the black business owners to help black people.
Well, but Tracy, I was a black business owner, and I gave all to black organizations. I didn't give anything. I never gave to the Salvation Army or the United Way. So we would hope it would be a certain way, but it's not. But I think it can become a little bit better.
Listen, not as long as we have a mind, because I give both to black and white. But what I'm saying is, when I look at philanthropic giving, black folks don't give at no level of the game, and yet we want to put them into the position, we want to support them in the position, we're glad to have a picture on the wall, it's just like the White House. What good is Barack Obama doing in the White House if black kids can't get a job and can't read still?
That's a shame, but like I said before, when I had my business, I gave to black organizations. I figured there's enough whites out there to give to white organizations. When it comes down for them sharing, they're not going to give as much to a black organization as they're going to give to a white organization. I'm sorry. I contributed to black schools and the Council of Independent Black Institutions, and I'm sorry, that's the way I am.
And the thing is, we've got to change that paradigm. Because it's not working. Because right now, we're to the place where white folks not going to give and black folks not going to give. So
I will give until they are able to support themselves.
But you know what? I think Tracy is addressing, Bianchi, a more fundamental issue in terms of the group dynamics. You know, obviously she's not.
I agree with her. She's right about that.
She's not talking about people like you, but in terms of how you build an infrastructure, and that is where we are extremely lacking, because we do have black people who are in a position to do business with each other, number one, and then expand and filter that business down throughout the community. And they don't do it with each other.
In New Tonight, what city are you in? You're in California, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm from California, but I'm in Atlanta.
Well, when you was out in California, how about all those, there were several towns out there that's like 90-some-odd% Hispanic.
Yes.
Do them Hispanic businesses give to black causes?
No.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. This thing about it's going to be all, the more immigrants you get into this country, and they as they try to establish themselves, they are not going to give to black causes. Matter of fact, they have...
That's a problem, Pionki.
Right. Matter of fact, they go into these corporations, Tracy, and saying, hey, you got these things that's designated all black. It can't be like that.
Listen, and they're sucking the money out, and they're giving it to them, and everybody's happy, and that's the problem. I got to go, guys. I love you. I'll see you next week.
All right, be careful.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, so that's what's going – I mean, these Hispanic Latinos are going to these corporations. You know, at one point in time, there used to be scholarships that's designated for African-Americans, black and African-Americans. Well, it was African-Americans, where they title it. But now, even the Congressional Black Caucus would tell you that these scholarships is not just for African-Americans.
Right.
I'm just reading that here. I got it right here.
They're trying to do away with affirmative action altogether.
Well, yeah, they're trying to.
So it all goes hand in hand.
And see, what happens if you create enough businesses of your ethnic group, them businesses is going to give to causes for their own ethnic group. They're not going to be crossing over and saying this is part for this, for blacks, part of this, for Italians, and so on and so on and so on. So that's what you're starting to see. That's how we getting jacked again.
Right. I agree. I definitely agree with that.
Yep, it's something else.
Yeah, but Pionki, I think what Tracy was trying to say, and this is what I've seen, particularly in the educational realm, is, and I'll even put it this way, I do a lot of work with Toys for Tots, okay, and the majority of the toys in this area that I give away. Go to people that look like me. But I get this last year. Now, last year I served over 14,000 children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Toys for Us, you say?
Toys for Tots.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah. We give away toys to underprivileged kids, needy families. Now, out of the, in the area, I would say in the Five County area, maybe, I know there's over 100 churches, okay? And I received tour requests from at least 50 African-American churches. Mm-hmm. This year, I've been doing it for 4 years now. This year was the first year, the very first year, we got a monetary donation from an African-American church. $50. Okay, they for some reason they just don't give. I mean, they want the toys for the congregation, but they don't give, and they do not collect toys. They don't get a Toys for Tots box. They won't collect them, but they want us to give to the congregation, and that's the thing that really confuses some of the other guys that help with the Toys for Tots campaign, because we've got one church. That's a white church, and I put 15 boxes in there at the beginning of the season, and we'll go and empty those boxes 5 times before the 20th of December or our cutoff date.
Well, you know,
it's crazy.
I usually take out of my pocket to give. I've taken blankets out of my car, covered up old white man laying in the doorway when I knew the temperature was going to drop down. And you know how when you have your you got a favorite car, you always got a blanket in the trunk when you had to get out on the ground and throw it down, get up underneath there. I gave that white guy my best blanket. So, you know, I look at people in those predicaments as human beings that just need some help.
Exactly.
And, you know, you try to do the best you can. But I live and I associate in black areas, so I'm going to be in contact with more black folks than I do anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to help them as much as I possibly can.
Yeah. But it's just, for me, it's like, it's very frustrating when, you know, I'm working in the neighborhood that you're supposed to be working in, and, you know,
I agree with you. You're
not trying to help me. And
they
and,
don't.
And some of the guys, they see it. Jim has been working with it for 10 years now, and, you know, he said he came to the conclusion that, hey, they're just using us to promote their ministry, you know, to make their ministry larger.
You're right.
So, you know, and he noticed that, and he's Catholic. And
politicians,
black
politicians do the same thing during Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
They get turkeys from ConAg, which is a white organization, white corporation.
Yep.
Get them turkeys out to their black constituents.
Mm-hmm.
The vote for
now
them.
We've got a car dealer. Before he owned the dealership. An NBA basketball player owned the dealership. I want to say it's Mike Hammond, but now it's another guy, Mike Rickenbaugh, and Orlando Hudson. They Orlando plays for the Diamondbacks. They got together and they purchased some 1,500 turkeys this year, and gave them away. But,
mm-hmm.
But before that, Mike Hammond was doing it with his dealership.
You know what? We had the cases where some agents for white players will direct them away from black areas. We had a running back for the St. Louis. I want to say the St. Louis, the football Cardinals, I can't think of his name. But he never would, you know, participate. I tell you, somebody else who won't need was Ozzie Smith. Now, I've heard these things, but I don't know how truthful they are. I know some cases where he had opportunity to get involved in a black ownership of a supermarket, and talking to the man, he said Ozzie Smith pulled out. But there's a lot
Marshall
on that one.
Falk, are you, Keon?
Yeah, Marshall Faulk. You're absolutely right. Marshall Faulk would not. You know, he would only show up in certain places. And I asked why, and his agent won't let him.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. Now, I tell you, you know, one of the guys that he's not a current player, but he's a Hall of Famer. Chris Hamburger lives in this area, and he told us, you know, anytime we need some help or some promotion or something like that, just let him know. He'll gladly, you know, come and, you know, help us raise funds and stuff like that, you know.
He's old school, though. Didn't he play for the Washington Redskins?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he's old school,
though, man. Well, I tell you, and I don't know if you see it there, Bianchi, but there's a trend down here where a lot of people are moving here. Especially with deep pockets, man, moving up north, because the property is so daggone cheap here, man.
Mm.
I mean, you're talking about you can pretty much buy 15 acre lot for about $35,000, and that's wooded with a stand of pines on it. Easy.
15 acres for 35 grand.
15 acres for 35 grand.
Wow.
And what a lot of guys are doing, you know, they come down, they buy the land, and just let it sit there and grow wild for about, you know, 3-4 years. Come back, sell the timber off it. That's covered their investment right there.
You know what, too, you were talking about Sterling and what he made those remarks about them tenants.
you know, Jews used to own all them 12 family and 6 family flats in the city when whites moved out.
Yeah.
And blacks did tear up the damn property. But what they done is they created HUD, Housing Urban Development. I think it was Jewish lobbying that created that organization. Right.
And then
they had a place to sell all that property to. They sold the HUD. HUD took over their property.
Well, Pianchi, what a lot of people don't realize is in Roxbury, Massachusetts, Harlem, New York, these were all white neighborhoods prior to 1920. You know, Harlem and everything was all white. Then later on, the whites moved out. Blacks moved in, you know, and the neighborhood just, I guess you say, the neighborhood just kind of went down. And now the property is so cheap compared to New York cheap that these folks are coming in and buying up these properties and forcing these folks out now, and they're making a killing. Now, everybody
yeah,
wonders
you
why
are.
Bill Clinton put an office in Harlem. Of all places,
and
he
you
put
know,
an office in Harlem.
And just like you tried to tell that story, I mean, the only way we can tell the story is what we experienced. When blacks moved into, and I ain't saying, I know why, see, blacks don't have the type of money to maintain some of these great big old brownstones and stuff like that. Man, you're talking about a lot of money. You have to have a heck of a salary to do that. But the thing is that, for instance, here in St. Louis, when they demolished Pruitt-Igoe, which is a huge project, they took those occupants and pushed them west into these 6 and 12 story, 12 unit apartments. And over a period of time, they went down too. They would come blighted, windows broken out, tore up, and so on. They was owned by Jews. Silverman, Coatner, your Eagle Realtors, and so on. I can name them, a Michelson. And they tore up the apartments. Plus, some of them, if you didn't pay your rent, there's no way they could get the rent out of it. They went to evict you. It would take 2 years to evict somebody. So I can understand somebody that, matter of fact, I own property. I got rid of all mine in 2005. But I understand what Silverman was talking about. But what they done, they lobbied to create HUD, Housing Urban Development, who they sold these apartments to. They sold them to the government, and the government took them over. Then, when these apartments became so dilapidated and it just wasn't feasible to repair them, a lot of them still had lead paint on the walls and so forth, they went to the private sector to try to get them to start renting and providing housing for low and moderate income, or should we say the poor. The private sector got involved in it. They experienced the same problem. So what then they came up with this Section 8. Section 8 would give you a voucher to make sure you get paid, and also if they tear up your property, they will replace or repair the property where it was before that tenant moved in. And that's the only way it kept going today. I didn't want to get involved in that stuff. So.
Well, the property that I manage is a Section 8 202 property. And what it is senior citizens and the physically handicapped. But what you've got now is HUD. There aren't too many HUD-owned properties out there anymore. What HUD does is they contract with these different companies. HUD will finance the building of the property. Say you got a property that's 40 units. HUD will pay allow you to charge the fair market housing rate. In a particular area, HUD will pay you a contract with you to provide those units to a particular population. And what you've got to do is, as long as you keep that at 100%, HUD will guarantee you the subsidy. If you don't keep it at 100%, you'll get paid for the units that you have occupied on the 10th of each month. So you want to keep 100% occupancy, but what that does is it guarantees you It guarantees you the money. And they allow you to collect a certain amount to put into a contingency fund for capital improvements and things like that, a reserve, they call it. But you're not going to lose anything unless you are a very, very sorry marketer and do not market the property, and, you know, so you can stay at 100%. But a smart property management company or smart owner can make a killing off of it. You know, easily
$300,000-$400,000
a year.
Well, yeah, they do. Hey, we got areas here that's like that.
But what happens is, you know, you got those landlords that just don't maintain the property.
They got some.
You got those tenants that raise hell.
South Carolina, they got some. Former hood property like that, but they house Somalis and immigrants, Bosnians.
Okay. And, well, and now here's an interesting thing. You know, at the end of the contract, HUD gives you the option of maintaining or owning the property or going commercial with it. Now, you're going to go and take your property and turn into a conventional property where you might or might not get the rent at the end of the month, or you're going to stay guaranteed.
They're going to stay guaranteed.
They're going to stay with the guaranteed money.
And then guess what? If they can't find no local American-born blacks, that's when they start bidding for immigrants. Man, send me 500 Somali immigrants. Send me 300 Bosnians. Check this out. Send me 1,000 Syrian immigrants. Send me 1,000 Ukrainian immigrants.
I cannot rent to an undocumented, you know, immigrant. The reason being is they cannot provide me with an ID. If they cannot provide a state issued ID, I cannot rent.
South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Guess how many Bosnian refugees came to St. Louis?
I know there was a bunch of them. And
what do you call a bunch? What do you call a bunch?
10,000 to 15,000?
Nope.
No.
80,000.
80,000.
In South St. Louis, 80,000. They brought 30,000 in at one time. You go to NPR, they talk about it. They don't talk about it in a negative frame because they have practically built a new city over there with shops and
so on. That's a damn
city. And so on. You're damn right it is.
80,000. Okay, where are all these people?
They all house. None of them unemployed that I know of. That complex that they put the Somalians in, they put a fence around it.
Why'd they do that?
I don't know. I can tell you where it is. It's on Skinker. Skinker and Etzel, E-T-Z-E-L. Anybody think Pianchi's lying, go check it out yourself. Skinker and Hamilton, S-K-I-N-N-E-R and Etzel, E-T-Z-E-L.
That is crazy. I've never heard anything like that. Well, I tell you now, I when it comes to housing, I have seen some of everything. I mean, you know, I've seen.
They're gonna do it again with Chinese. They're gonna do it again with the Chinese and the Asians. Watch and see.
What, you talking about the group from Taiwan when China kind of just takes over them and kick them all out?
Probably so. These vacant lots, I don't know where you live at, but in this city here, the north side, which was all black, they tearing down houses. Even if you got good, stable blocks, if you got one structure in that area that
some way or another becomes blighted, they will not let nobody rehab that. They will tear it down to begin the spread of the blight in order to clear out the area. Then the state created a land-based authority called, housing authority, land, I can't think of the name of it, housing authority. Matter of fact, it was called land development authority. And they, what they do, they land bank these lots.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, you know what they're getting ready to do then.
And I'm talking about tremendous areas, man. There used to be all black. They aren't no more. The school district went from over 100,000 down to about 22,000.
Yeah, they're getting ready to make some money is what they're getting ready to do. Yep. Black and
it's the only people they can do it with is immigrants. Whites not having the babies. Surely blacks not having. The only way they can reoccupy those spaces, because whites have moved further out west. Whites in St. Louis is moving west. Whites in Kansas is moving east. Sooner or later, they're going to meet. Because I drive west, and I remember places where I used to rabbit hunt. Now, man, they got car dealerships. They got restaurants, so on and so on and so on. Hagen, what's now became black communities, black areas, restaurants are closing. Steak and Shakes are closing. Popeye Chickens are closing. We've had a McDonald's or two. Now, if you can't keep a McDonald's open, my goodness.
They close a McDonald's, yeah, you need a bad shake. You ain't a bad shake, you can't keep a McDonald's. Down here, man, we're experiencing some serious growth. I mean, you know, there's a new subdivision out here all the time.
So, you know, that's just that's what America's about. America's about making money. It's one thing you don't want to be in this country. You don't want to be poor and have to depend on the government.
That's for sure. That is for sure. Yeah. All right, man. I'm going to have to
bug you. All right, I got to get out of here, too. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
All right, bye.